sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral visit our website for more
oh! people who need to protect. And if you protect, they don't go away. Ask them for rain. I'll tell you how they became friends. Seriously. Nobody comes to my house for rain.
Got my blanket.
My I knew I could lean on you. Today is the Mike Dad. I am excited about today. I've had a crazy morning. It is getting crazier by the day and by the moment.
Good crazy.
I don't know if it's a good crazy. What is it?
Is it money making crazy?
That's a good crazy.
For some people, but not for me.
Oh, okay.
I got a question. Why did you come up with the best ideas at the last moment?
I don't know. My mind seems to work best late at night. I come up with the best ideas, and then I fall asleep and forget about them.
I came up with an idea for yesterday after I left your house that I have to have done by tonight.
You had it all figured out when you left my house. You changed your mind.
No, I didn't change my mind. It wasn't even on my mind. I was walking in the store and said, "Ooh, that's a good idea." Called on the phone, got permission to spend some money, and spent it. But now I got to do it, and I got to have it done by 5 o'clock.
So is that why we got scissors here?
Absolutely. I'm waiting on you guys to start talking so I can buzz out
for the work. Hey, you heard Maggie Thatcher passed away this morning.
Slow down. He's old man. I'm trying to go and laugh and joke, and you're talking about people dying. We're getting to Maggie Thatcher because that's going to open up a whole political can of worms, and then we're going to be talking
about Ronald Reagan.
Then
we're going to be talking about how
social fascism, FDR, Bill Clinton, got to go Gorbachev, tear the walls down, all the kind of stuff.
It's Monday.
Yeah.
It's Monday.
All right.
Didn't you watch NASCAR yesterday?
Yes, I did.
See them?
Jimmy Johnson won.
Wait a minute. He listens to NASCAR, y'all.
How do you listen to a car going in a circle?
That's what I'm saying.
Wait, it has to go something like this.
Well, how do you listen to a football game or a baseball game?
I'm
game on a radio?
I'm sorry. I've told y'all before now. Leave NASCAR alone now. Seriously. How do you listen to a car race? Man, please.
Hey.
I'm serious. He's out there listening to the car going circles. I said, "What are you listening to?"
You have to be. You must have perfect pitch or something. You tell the difference of the engine as it drives by. There goes Jimmy Johnson.
They got announcers just like football and baseball.
Right. They got
play by play, blow by blow.
Play by play.
Listen, what? Blow by blow.
Wait. So
what?
It's like okay. He turned left. He turned left.
He turned left.
Then he turned left again.
I can say the same thing about football. He caught the ball. He threw the ball.
Exactly.
So, we all got our own thing.
No, you can't. Now, see,
there's a certain amount of excitement that goes along with that.
What'd you say, South Carolina?
There's a certain amount of excitement that goes along with the NASCAR, you know, because they're giving you play-by-play and who's moves, who's making moves and stuff like that, and all of a sudden, come on, in turn three!
South Carolina, you know you're black, right?
Yeah. And?
Listen here. Let me explain.
Hey.
Hold up. Let me explain something to you. You can't be a Republican, talk like a white boy, and be in the NASCAR and call you're gone too far.
Dale Wallace Jr.
What do you mean?
Hey, Dale Wallace Jr.
Yep.
19 years old, black guy, started on the outside row of the truck race on Saturday.
Is he a Republican?
I don't know. He drives for Joe Gibbs.
You missed the point. You had to hear what I said. South Carolina has gone too far. You can pick one of the three, but you can't pick all three. South Carolina,
well, guess,
do we have to have a conversation?
Well, I guess when I tell you I watched the Country Music Awards last night, y'all gonna pull my card all together.
Oh, you have just been fired. And they fired Omarosa last night, and they like crushed it. I thought that was good too. You watched the Country Music Awards last night. Why weren't you watching the Celebration of Gospel? See what I'm saying? Do you feel
what
I'm saying, South Carolina?
I don't watch Centric.
Do you hear what I'm saying?
Yeah,
you watched
saying,
the Country Music Awards and didn't watch the Gospel Celebration.
No. I mean, I watched the Dove Awards, but...
Tell, t- Tell me what's wrong with this picture. You're going too far, South Carolina.
Absolutely not. I haven't gone too far. Blame it on my
mom. You know, not only did he lose his black card, he just got his white card.
That's what I'm saying. I'm going to send you some Michael Jackson face cream. Wow.
Yeah. You know you're talking to a television star.
Oh, you know that's wrong,
yeah.
But.
What'd you say, South Carolina?
That is wrong on so many levels.
You need to remind Tracy that you're a television star in South Carolina.
That I know.
You better send me the whole pool full, because it's going to take a lot to turn this by this black. You talking about 15 years with no cream?
And listen, a computer guy said he didn't watch the celebration of gospel either. Guess what, y'all? You know, we're gonna have to have a conversation because y'all keep listening to Tracy and friends. Y'all gonna be really messed up. They're gonna throw y'all out.
It just goes to show how America is still hung up on race and color.
We haven't got past it yet. You don't want to get past it. You just want to just embrace it and be real with it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to get past it. I'll always be who I am, and you'll always be who you are. And it's a good thing. The question is, can we cohabitate and be understanding of people's culture and where they come from, no matter who they are or what color or shape or size they come in? That's the issue.
Well, are you going to come to Italian Fest with me?
Absolutely. I got good food.
I guess.
I got Italian now.
I think we're going to cohabitate well. That's the hand gesture. That's Italian.
As a matter of fact, you know, I've got issues. I never thought I'd be defending Barack Obama. I've had so many issues.
I defended him. I don't think what he said about that girl being easy on the eyes.
She looked pretty.
She was very pretty. Yeah. And that was a compliment.
What's wrong with a man telling you look nice? That's just stupid.
Right.
And how does that make you become non-feminine or non-powerful or non-something because the president of the United States says you're one of the best-looking AGs, state AGs in the country? That's just stupid.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No.
Nothing wrong with that at all.
It was a very, very nice compliment he gave her.
So what wacko women are coming up with this thing that men are not supposed to compliment us? Why do you think we wear high heels, wear pantyhose, and girdles? You think we wear them for the girls?
The only wacky woman I think that would have had a hard time with that would be Mrs. Obama.
Well, yeah.
But she didn't care.
She didn't say anything.
You ever notice all hardcore feminists are not very easy on the eyes?
But then they shouldn't hate on the ones that are.
The real hardcore ones. Have you ever seen a real hardcore feminist that was easy on the eyes?
The only real hardcore feminists I know are he's. So.
South Carolina, what'd you say?
What about, have you guys ever seen a good, hard-looking Betty Friedan?
I don't even know who she is.
Betty
who?
Betty Friedan.
Oh.
Hardcore.
I just don't understand how we get to this mindset that a man, I don't care who he is, the president, the uncle, the dog, the cat, dad, uncle, neighbor, why can't you tell a person that they're pretty or they look nice or that you smell good? I was in a store yesterday and a man walked by me and I said, wow, do you smell nice? I said, I can say that, can't I? That's just stupid. I should be able to tell somebody that you look nice, smell nice, you know, whatever.
It's like, the progressives don't want you to give compliments out anymore, I guess. There must be something where you just...
Well, what is that?
I have no idea.
No. No. Jeff comes in here, no mic, and he's going to start yelling out loud.
Yeah,
we can hear you. The number is 347-945-5229. It is open mic today. Do want to hear from you. South Carolina, what did you send me via email? What are you talking about?
What? What did I send you email?
Yesterday.
What
are you doing sending emails on weekends?
Somebody must have hacked my email account. Oh, yeah, I did send you something in the email. I'm sorry.
Duh.
I can't remember what it was. I have to go back and check my sent mail.
Ben?
Yes?
Did you read it?
No.
I don't send emails. So don't blame me.
You don't read emails.
I told you I'm technologically challenged.
But you can Facebook.
Only on Sundays.
But you can Facebook, but you can't do anything else.
I'm only...
Turn Jeff's mic down. Turn it down until he gets out. Because he's hot. Oh, Styx is running around. Hey, if you go to TracyandFriends.com, click on Blog Talk, you can get inside of our chat room. We don't talk about Blog Talk a whole lot, but that's how I do a lot of the streaming of the program. And want you to be knowledgeable of how you can actually chat in the chat room, find out who we are. Styx is in there usually. Jeff is in there usually. Technologically challenged, Ben, he never goes in. We're trying to work on him, but, you know, getting people to do what you want to do is just tough and difficult. South Carolina goes in. You'll find Diva and a lot of others that are in there, and they're chatting about not necessarily what we're talking about, but they're on their own plane talking about whatever they want to talk about, putting in whatever they want to talk about. And as long as you're not too abrasive, I will let you go. I'm a little bit. I don't censor too much.
It's sometimes like its own radio show unto itself.
Yes, yeah. It is. So if you go to Blog
Talk
Radio,
make sure you wear your headgear. Make sure you wear your headgear. Yeah.
Why is that?
Because you might get slapped around a little bit.
Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah. Make sure you got on that boxing. What's the box?
Covina Man and Bianchi.
They're in there. I got to tell you all about this trailer. Jeff, when you went out to Styx's, did you get to see the trailer?
Yes.
Let me tell you all about the house on wheels.
I was about to move in.
And his wife said she loves him so much she never throws him out of the house and into the trailer. So since that be true, I can go live. The trailer pulls cars here inside of the trailer.
I told you, Tracy. I told you. You wouldn't believe me.
That's Paul's Taj Mahal.
And listen here. I mean, y'all got to understand. Now, you know, we talk about trailer, people that live in trailer. You know, people, y'all don't be tripping.
Is that part of your survival bug out plan?
Now,
you say you don't like NASCAR.
No.
You was in NASCAR when you saw the trailer. That was NASCAR live.
So that's how they roll?
That's right. That's how they roll, girl.
So now listen, this is how they roll. So those of you who may or may not know, this is how this is. You got a truck pulling a trailer, riding a car. So in this trailer, and the trailer expands, so it turns into like a mini house.
And is the trailer pulling a couple four-wheelers?
No, actually, put a whole car in the back. It's got an 18-foot garage.
I'm saying, it's got a car in the... It's got a,
right now, it's got a 300D sitting in it, Mercedes.
Okay.
It's got a car in the back covered up so it don't get cold. And then I can see, this is how I would do it. I would have the truck pulling the trailer, pulling the car. No, I got a truck pulling the trailer, car riding. And they got bikes. And
you
got to
protect that resale value.
That's listen, it's like a little, you're carrying your little garage, house and garage on wheels.
Satellite dish.
That's what I was thinking.
Oh, wait a minute. Queen size bed.
Mm-hmm. Full size shower.
And two more showers, full size shower, full size. They got real toilets. That bathroom is not even like the plane.
Well, you know what?
It's bigger than a bus.
If it was all painted in camo, it would be perfect.
It's almost, but it's got NASCAR stripes going down the side.
Oh. Camo with NASCAR stripes?
No camo. It's just NASCAR stripes. It looks like a little racing.
No, you disappoint me, Styx. I was looking for camo.
No camo.
No camo?
I mean, he's pulling his house.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, that's almost as big as the first house trailer Paul and I lived in when we got out of the Navy.
He's pulling his house. I told him I was going to talk about it.
Huh.
Well, I'm done.
Sounds
now.
Nice. I mean, that's a perfect strategy.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Mm-hmm.
So now there's no. I'm going to. Can I hit that to the back of my truck?
No.
Why not?
Because it weighs 14,500 pounds.
And your truck's probably only rated for about 10,000.
And it takes that hitch that goes in the back of the bed. You'd have to have a pickup truck.
Or Denali. My car will pull it.
Your car what?
My 4x4, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Mine won't.
I think we ought to try it.
In fact, I bet you can get two of my cars in his garage.
Probably can.
Yeah.
Okay.
It'll grow up one day. It'll be gas hog.
Yeah.
I just want everybody to know, hey, the number is 347-945-5229. I'm going to take a break in a few minutes, and then we'll come back and talk about, you know, whatever anybody wants to talk about. We'll get to Margaret Thatcher dying, and we'll talk about, I got to bring up, hey.
So sensitive you are.
Yeah, with such compassion. How dare she die on a Monday when I've got to talk about her?
Mess up my open mic Monday.
I wanted to talk about Oprah on NASCAR, and she had to die on us.
Yeah.
See, we're at even strength now, guys. You know that.
Well, they're not going to invite me to the funeral, so what?
You never know. You're kind of getting up there these days.
Yeah,
you
right.
might get a, yeah, you, yeah, like, yeah. They won't yeah. give you a ticket, but they might invite you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If they invite me, we're going to have to send me over there, you know, in a cargo.
Fat Xbox.
You'll miss it. You'll miss it.
So, you know, no. Hey, did I just hear in the news? So this is, I want y'all to talk. I got to bring this up just for a few minutes before I go to my break. I want y'all to really understand how dumb stuff is today. I do. We got to really comprehend the dumbness of America today. I just heard in the news at the top of the hour that they want to legalize drugs for the dogs.
For the what?
Marijuana for dogs. Yeah, I heard that.
Did you hear that?
Yeah, I heard that.
Can anybody please? Tell me why.
Oh, it's the truth. It's true. Tracy, I don't believe it. After all these years, that velvet picture that's hanging on my grandma's wall is true. That dog was smoking a stogie. No, he wasn't smoking a stogie. He was smoking a blunt.
Yeah, he was. And he was playing poker.
Remember Cheech and Chong? It's Labrador, dude.
Yeah.
Y'all to understand the state fruit is a banana in Ohio, and now we don't have dogs smoking weed. Explain that to me, y'all. Help me
There'll be more beagles floating around.
I want y'all to understand this. Now listen. I want y'all to listen. How does the marijuana get into the dog?
Droplets.
Shotgun. You gotta know that one, though. You don't know that one.
And the shotgun probably is provided by Joe Biden.
I just see Joe Biden putting the joint in his mouth.
Bills in pain.
No, they gonna bring broke
pain. Well, you know,
he never inhaled it.
Well, you know, was it?
Give the shotgun.
Was it Gerald Ford's kid that they brought dope into the White House for? I saw something about that one time.
What was it, Willie Nelson that smoked dope
Willie
on
Nelson,
the roof?
Willie Nelson was smoking dope on the roof of the White House when he went to play for Nixon.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I'm sorry. Anybody in Washington, D.C.?
They're all smoking.
D.C., they're all snorting coke and smoking crack down in that White House.
I want y'all to understand something. I want to know who came up to make it. It made the news. You got to understand, not only did somebody think about they wanted to have the dope smoking dog, but,
it's a smoke screen. It's a smoke screen. That's all it is. Because, see, what you got is you got the man and his dog walking down the street, right? Cops stop it, okay? They find a couple of blunts on him. He said, no, man, that's not mine. That's for the dog. He ain't got no pocket.
And here's his prescription.
Yeah.
Could you see the Senate hearings on that when they called the dog to testify?
I tell you what, though, veterinarians are going to get rich now writing prescriptions.
It's true.
How do you know your dog's in pain like that? Because remember, the news said it's for dogs that are in pain who are not responsive to other medications. So how do you know that the dog is still in pain and he is non-responsive to other medications?
You know the PETA commercial with all the sad-looking animals' eyes? The one that my daughter's beagle. She could do that. She should get paid to do that ad.
Really?
Oh yeah. And this is the most pampered dog on the planet.
No.
You know what? As soon as they start doing that, I'm gonna set up the first dog rehab clinic.
No.
The government will sponsor and pay for it too.
Amy will buy that kid that dog toys.
Yeah.
And the dog will tear them up, and she will sew them back together.
Yeah,
and give them back to the dog.
You're missing the point.
Hey, Tracy, you think the cat that grumpy cat looks grumpy right now? Just wait. till he hears about this.
I just want you to understand what they said. They said Who was, I mean, you had to be high to say, I think I'm going to try.
Get to make my dog
experimental
high.
Experimental marijuana on the dough. Cause it'll, and we're going to try to legalize it because it'll help him with his pain. I really want y'all to understand what the dog is getting high.
I can just imagine the dog sitting there eating a bag of Doritos.
Oh, jeez.
I can just see it now.
I like that the one when they fed the dog those Doritos, the goat those Doritos.
Uh-huh.
And then the goat is mad after so many days because he can't keep him in the can't keep buying the Doritos. And the goat comes at him. Won't let him in his house. I love that commercial.
You know what? I know how it happened.
Yeah.
Snoop Doggy Dog. He's going to fall to the jail.
Wow. Yippee-yo, yippee-yay.
That's how it happened. That's what happened, right?
Yeah, go on the stand.
Actually, I have to believe it's a non-smoker or a non-dope user that would sponsor that bill because I don't think any user would voluntarily give up his stuff to a dog.
When you're high.
Now there's something. You know, they want to stop you from smoking. They want to stop you from eating everything that's bad for you, but they want to legalize dope. Now, why, if tobacco's bad for you, is dope bad for you?
No, of course not.
No, can't be.
It's no filter on it, so you're getting 100% byproducts of anything you burn,
right.
And that has to be good for you, Sticks. You know it does.
And
it's close to nature.
We know when your mind is on drugs what it looks like from the A commercial. So, and, you know, you tie that in with a Democratic registration drive, and it's perfect.
I'm taking a break. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. Hope you're having a good day today. The number is 347-945-5229. It is open mic, and we will go anywhere you want to go, but we do want to hear from you. And I want to thank everyone who stops me in the stores and says, hey, they hear your voice, and we listen to Tracy and Friends, and they love our show. We love you, too, and we appreciate you, so we want to get that out and say thank you to you. We'll be right back.
In the autumn, in a land called Holly, little Jackie Taylor loved that rascal Pop and brought him swings and feeling high in a land that's in
common. Family, unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Local restaurants, shops, salons, and more with savings of 50 to 90% every time. Live more, spend less. Download the mobile app now.
Now that's a real sweet deal.
SweetJack.com.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingly Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingly offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingly, it's not clean. Kingly Hand Wash and Wax, 309 West Midlothian Boulevard.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
Intelligent, energetic, controversial.
Dramatic last stand of the fugitive ex-cop Christopher Dorner.
America's correspondent, Geraldo Rivera.
I know people, there are a lot of people who sympathize with his cause, but to sympathize with what he did, no, I don't think so.
This is Geraldo on News Talk 600 WSOM.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
We're back with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM, 347-945-5229, or toll-free 1-800-530-WSOM, online at tracyandfriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. I can't believe back in the 60s and 70s, they actually wrote songs about smoking weed.
What do you mean they wrote songs about smoking weed, huh?
Now, hold on. Puff the Magic Dragon was a song about what?
Dragon. The Magic Dragon.
Was a song about what?
It was a dragon.
It was a
harmless song about a dragon.
Lived by Honey Lee.
About marijuana. Come on, y'all. Y'all quit backing up.
So hold on. Tell me why is that we have kids' songs called Puff the Magic Dragon.
I remember they had a cartoon, Puff the Magic
That's
Dragon.
That's what I'm saying. So why did we have cartoons called Puff the Magic Dragon when they were talking about the pink purple Barney?
They changed the name from Jackie Paper to Jackie Draper. I do remember that.
Who's Jackie Draper? What are you talking about? What paper?
In the song, it was Jackie Paper, and for the TV show, they changed it to Jackie Draper.
I didn't know what the words of the song was. I just knew they had Puff the Magic Dragon. I'm doing good with the words.
Well, I guess you never paid any attention to Elton John and Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds.
With Diamonds, yep.
Yeah, that was a song about a girlfriend and Mary Jane. Yeah, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, Rick James.
Okay. Yeah, because
I'm in love with Mary Jane.
Mary Jane was about weed, also, wasn't it?
Absolutely.
See, that's the problem. You know, that's rock and rollers. We're straightforward, George. Right, what is it, cocaine, Donna?
No, that's
somebody else, huh?
Cocaine.
Oh man, I'm having a major.
That's Creedence Clearwater.
No, it's not.
No, it was. Oh man, he's one of the world's greatest guitarists.
Eric Clapton.
Eric Clapton.
I mean, okay. They're rock and rollers. We get right to it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's no beating around the bush.
Well, even you know.
No nickname for cocaine. It's just
you
cocaine.
Know. Well, you had.
Yeah,
White Lightning.
I don't even think they had videos, didn't they? They didn't have videos back then. They came out later on, but not when it first came out.
Yeah, not when this came out.
Because this was vinyl. Okay.
Yeah, it was.
Just thought I had a flashback there for a minute.
Yeah.
Okay. The number 347-945-5229. Now you guys can talk about Mary Thatcher.
Margaret
Thatcher. Same thing.
Yeah, she liked to get high, too, with her dog.
The Iron Lady.
You talk about me, and then you talk about the woman getting high with the dog with Willie Nelson on top
of the
White
House. Over there, it's not called marijuana. It's called hemp.
Yes.
But I thought hemp was...
marijuana.
It is marijuana.
No, I thought hemp was the
fiber.
Was the fiber that came out
of
THC.
Yeah,
you never heard Smoke the Rope Dope?
No.
Those NASCAR people, let me tell you.
I'm still black. No. No.
Hemp.
I'm sure black.
Yeah. Actually,
they've actually
hemp clothing, a clothing line.
That's what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Willie Harrelson is all real big about that.
Yeah, well, they're actually claiming that
it's stronger than fiber, than cotton.
Stronger than cotton.
Yeah.
It's more. It's a seasonal crop too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you know the waste part is good to smoke for your dog.
Yeah. There you go. Medicinal purpose.
Yeah.
And
so
hemp fiber. Jeez.
Yeah. No.
The perfect plant.
Exactly. You don't throw any of it away.
That's a good thing.
You know, but the bad thing is that you'll have some dope fiend come up to you and try to light your shirt on fire.
Yeah.
These Jones, and I got to have some.
I've never seen anybody.
Jones for dope?
No, when we say dope, see, dope is too broad of a term.
Marijuana.
For marijuana.
Okay.
Marijuana is different. I don't think we ought to legalize it. I think that would be a bad thing because I think it times your brain stimulation out.
Yeah.
I truly believe that, but it's a different kind of narcotic. But I don't know.
Is it truly a gateway drug? Is the question?
I believe so.
Yeah, I think so too.
I believe so too.
But then again, I think alcohol is a gateway drug too.
Everything, anything like that is a gateway drug.
Yeah, anybody who loses their passion for living in reality, anything can be a gateway drug for them.
Well, actually,
caffeine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Caffeine is not a gateway drug.
What about, you hear about sex addicts now. Who would have thought of that?
I don't think that could actually be a product. That's an oxymoron. Sex.
The reason why I say it can be something that will cause you to desire it. And cigarettes, another thing, but it doesn't alter your mindset. Coffee, you know.
Alcohol sure is heck
sure
up. It's illegal. It's a legal
coffee.
Drug.
Coffee does alter your mindset. It speeds you.
I've never been high on coffee.
I bet you have, and you just don't know it.
As much coffee as I drink.
And that's probably why. You're probably so addicted to it that it doesn't do
but
it.
But I can go days without
it. You can go days without it, but I bet you get a headache.
No, I know.
Okay, well,
I mean, I drink a lot of coffee.
Thank God for your body, then.
But what I'm saying is, the marijuana, coffee doesn't make me want to go smoke a joint or do something different.
Let me finish
what my statement is.
Yeah.
When you're high on marijuana, it will cause you sometimes to go to other drugs while you're high.
Not
so you go from marijuana to smoking cocaine inside of your marijuana cigarette.
No, well,
and it's no biggie. What'd you say, South Carolina? I mean, it happens. I mean,
well,
that's why I say it's a gateway. Not, I mean, coffee doesn't make you go out and smoke cigarettes.
No.
Cigarettes make you drink coffee, though.
Well, when people have a drink, they like to drink and smoke.
Right.
I've noticed there's an association there.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll tell you what. I mean, it's not like
I was
a drug user, but back in college, anytime I did smoke whatever that was you want to call it, I did go for Doritos.
Well,
no,
I mean,
make you eat. Now, make munchies is different.
Yeah, but you know, so it's a gateway to...
Let me tell you.
Know, I mean, that used to be the joke when I smoked when I was in the service, was Philip Morris stock went up 20%.
When you smoked in the service. Clarify what
tobacco.
You were smoking.
Smoked
okay.
tobacco.
That's because of that. You can get in trouble there.
No, they had that random urinalysis thing going.
The only thing in drugs that make you want to go to something else is there's somebody around that's saying, this is better than that. They're switch-selling you or whatever.
Yeah, I think
because
it's more of a... Yeah, more of a
peer pressure.
Yeah, if you hang out with the kind of people that start smoking cigarettes at a young age, they're tend to going to want to start drinking beer at a young age,
mm-hmm.
and using marijuana at a young age, and it's the peer pressure, it's the peer group thing. I just heard a study the other day though that said that the 50 and over crowd is picking their pot back up from.
Oh yeah.
Their youth, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you what, my game plan is once I reach 80 years old, that's it. I'm doing coke, heroin, drinking, I'm smoking, and I'm eating all the candy I can.
You won't last long.
That's all right. If I lasted that long, it's long enough.
Preacher said in a sermon yesterday, if you're born today, you got a pretty good shot of living to be 140. That's scary. And they're gonna put them on Social Security at 65.
Yeah, it would be 72 by that time. Maybe 82.
Yeah, you can imagine that. Hey, 120 is the new 100.
I already said 70 is the new 30. You heard that the other day.
Yeah, I never heard that.
That was
70 is the new 30.
Hanoi Jane went to some awards thing, and they said she looked so good at 70.
God.
That 70 is the new 30.
No, the 70 is the new surgeon.
Lovely for her.
No.
70 is the new plastic surgeon.
You
trust
know,
me.
You know what? I gotta tell people. I gotta say this out loud. For people who are trying, especially women,
mm-hmm.
I know that you want to have the fountain of youth. And I know plastic surgery is, you know, a great thing. But you really need to check out your surgeon's work before you go. Because I looked at a woman, I want to say it was Mary Tyler Moore. And sometimes you just got to just say no. Because she went to the wrong one.
Well, they just
haven't seen Mary Tyler Moore.
She's
a big guy.
No.
They're
no.
having a reunion show.
Betty White and
Carol Burnett.
Horace Leachman.
Yeah, Horace.
And the woman.
No, Rhoda's passed away, didn't she?
No.
No, she's got brain. She's got cancer.
Oh, okay.
She's,
okay.
Yeah, it's terminal.
Okay.
And so they're going
to
do a reunion
okay.
on the Cleveland show, or Hot in Cleveland, or something on that order. And
okay.
It was, I watched the press conference the other day, and, you know, people had plastic surgery trying to keep themselves young.
Joan Rivers.
And that Joan Rivers is old as dirt.
She has to wear a brooch around her neck to hide her belly button.
Oh.
Everything she got pulled out. Same thing with Dick Clark. I mean, before he had his stroke, I mean, he was looking like he was 20.
But Dick Clark, at least he went to a good plastic surgeon.
Oh, I'm sure he did.
Whatever he did right.
For a minute there, I thought a vampire bit him.
I'm watching everybody else, and I'm like, somebody, just say no. I know you want to don't be, no, just say no, it's bad. Bad.
Hasn't been too long ago, they caught that plastic surgeon going down to the AutoZone and buying silicone to do breast implants with.
No.
Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
AutoZone.
They were doing a fix-a-flat.
Yeah.
Pumping fix-a-flat to the butt.
Wait, was that?
Well, I mean, that's going to kill you. That's not.
If that ain't the point, it'll give you a fix. And it'll take your flat.
I mean, they have to put it inside or something to do that.
They fixed the flat. She was not a surgeon. She was.
No, there was a doctor that was caught doing that. Licensed doctor.
Well, see, I missed that one. I had the young lady. I saw a young lady. She wasn't a surgeon. She was injecting people with fix a flat. I'm not lying. And the fix a flat was fixing the flat behind.
Yeah, that wasn't no doctor.
She wasn't no doctor.
Yeah, because she's in prison now.
Yeah, somebody got sick.
Because she killed two people.
Something
yeah.
like that. Because, yeah. I mean, that's some serious stuff.
Yeah, but.
They tell you they won't even take the time to put fix-a-flat
in. But if you're stupid enough to let somebody put fix-a-flat in your behind, you kind of get what you deserve, don't you?
How do you know the fix-a-flat if I tell you I can just help you?
They think the first hint would be the can. When you hear them come up and start to shake the can. Yeah.
That cancer bottle there.
No, actually, the first should be when you go. go and you go to the back door and it's not a doctor's office.
No, they were actually doing it in a rented condo or something like that. I saw somewhere one time.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I saw an article a while back about Botox parties. These women are getting together in somebody's house and having Botox parties.
Oh, my God.
Well, what's wrong with that?
Let's inject people with botulism and see what happens.
Yeah, there's
nothing wrong with that.
You with botulism?
And yeah.
Put a little bit up under this canned food you have.
Hold on, guys. Now, I asked you guys earlier, does it make it, I mean, you guys are all heterosexual. We're talking about women. Does it make a difference? I mean, because, you know, women do it because they think that's what
Listen, if you're attracted to a woman from what's on the outside, then there's something wrong with you because it only counts what's on the inside.
Yeah.
And there's no plastic surgery that's going to fit the inside, fix the inside.
Hold up. That's what y'all say, but that don't sound right.
Well, I'm sorry. It's what matters.
Well, I guess it just depends.
That don't sound right.
I guess it just depends on the woman. I would never want my wife to go through any plastic surgery unless she had some kind of an accident that deformed her.
That doesn't sound right.
And then you would only want her to go through it if she wanted to
right.
and made her feel better,
right.
not for you.
Right.
Because you love her for the way
right.
she is, no matter what.
Right.
So
There's an old country song about my the lines on my face are my battle stripes. Mm-hmm.
That don't sound because everything.
Well, you know what
we do. I mean, you guys are always talking about how visual you guys are and how you want women to look like, you know, people on TV.
Jeff, I'll tell you what. You're married. You better stick up. You better say something quick.
Jeff ain't in that crowd.
I mean, you know, they're how visual you guys are, and you know, you guys.
Hold up.
Y'all always complimenting other folks. You know how good they got junk in the trunk and. All that kind of stuff. So when does that change? I mean, because I look at Margaret Thatcher. Margaret Thatcher was not the most beautiful woman in the world, but she was one of the brightest. Was she married?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. I know she had kids.
She said Ronald Reagan was the second most important man in her life other than her husband, I believe, Charles, or whatever his name was.
Oh, I can't remember which her husband's name
yeah,
was.
Yeah, but no,
actually,
I mean. Go ahead.
Actually, when I was at the Comsub Eastland, when I worked at Comsub Eastland, one of the guys that I worked with, one of his friends was their security detail, and they actually lived in Downing Street with him.
10 Downing?
Yeah.
I've been there. I was there.
I was never inside. I was past it.
But it's amazing how close you can get to it.
Yeah.
You can walk right up
to
the doorbell and ring it if you really wanted to. There's just a little courtyard there, and it's beautiful.
Yeah.
In South Carolina, what did you say?
She's got two kids.
Yeah, she's got twins. But mm-hmm. I'm saying, I mean, when it comes to, you guys talk about, you know, because you got to realize women do all this shooting with Botox and lifting and tucking and all that for men.
Yeah, but you know what? I think they do it more for themselves than for guys.
I do too.
I think it's because
I think
of their own
self. They do it for
other
women more than they do it for guys.
Oh, yeah.
They do what?
Do it for other women more than they do it for other guys.
Why would they do it for other women?
Weren't you the one that told them to dress for other women?
Yeah, you're in competition with other women.
Always.
That's what you, yeah, you actually, you said that yourself.
Yeah, you've said that more than once, that women dress for other women.
Right.
Yeah, but we don't wear heels with other women, do we? We don't get all gussied up for other women, do we?
I mean, honestly, if you guys were dressing for us men, you'd undress.
No, not walking down the street. Cause that's,
maybe.
They might as well be.
That's what's wrong with our girls today.
Uh-huh.
Our girls today think that they're sexy being naked, and that's not cute.
Well, some of them.
Our young girls.
Definitely,
I'm serious. Our young girls today, they look like prostitutes going down the street because
I've
they
seen
think
a lot of Walmart shoppers look like that.
They think they're sexy. They think their nudity and their skanky is sexy, and it's not.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is true.
So, is that not true? So let me ask this. Go again.
Well, that's a girl you can only love for the inside.
You know what?
I'm just being honest.
Well, the thing is. Young ladies today don't understand the difference between classy and trashy.
Is there a difference?
Yes, there is.
About two layers of clothing, at least.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll tell you what. You take a well-dressed woman in a long dress that just accents her, and it's much more appealing than somebody walking around with everything hanging out.
And falling everywhere.
And falling out, yeah.
Falling out.
Falling out all over the place.
Yeah.
So
those women that think they're the bomb already went out. You just seen the fallout.
What did you say, South Carolina?
Need to leave something for the imagination.
So why have not we have why have we not taught our women today? Because and I'm leading up into Margaret Thatcher because I thought she was a brilliant woman.
She was one of the most brilliant in the world, and how
she navigated herself with dignity and clout, even when they didn't like her, they had to respect her.
They've been taught. They're just not about adhering to the teaching.
What's
the problem? They're rebellious.
Are they being taught?
Well, their parents are teaching them. MTV is.
The video.
Videos and in those shows like Jersey Shore and what's that one you used to like?
I Love New York.
I Love New York. Yeah, see what I'm saying?
I don't know if that's teaching them because I look at Housewives of Atlanta and they just who in the world goes down the street? Come on now, in the middle of the day to go to the ball. I mean, it just doesn't work that way.
Well, some people do, depending on where they live.
I lived in Los Angeles. They still didn't go down there looking the street down the street like that.
Like what?
So Housewives of Atlanta or Housewives of Beverly, you really didn't see a lot of that. A
lot of that, what?
I was watching Housewives of Atlanta, and they were going shopping
mm-hmm.
in full heels and regalia, and they really, it's really, early, L.A.'s kind of weird. It's really kind of laid back. I mean, you might dress nice, look good.
Well, that's a television show there. I mean, if they were going shopping, you get a limo, and every time I know, like, my friends are the girls that go shopping, they wear tennis shoes and sweats.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, you really didn't see a whole bunch of people.
Yeah, because they're there to try on things.
Yeah, they weren't looking like that.
Mm-hmm.
But we watch it here in Ohio, and we think that's how they live, and that's really not how they roll.
Well, that's not how they roll in public, but that's how they live. But that means none of these reality shows can be real.
Well, you know.
Because I tell you what, I watched a bunch of mess yesterday for a second, and I couldn't take it no more. I just stopped watching.
But look, they're highly rated.
That's because people want to find out and see these people, because people worship people. I'm not a people worshiper.
But the problem is people don't know what's real and what's not.
That's about right.
They don't know the difference.
That's about right.
They don't know and because they don't know the difference, that's a problem.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that.
You know, that's a problem. So what they're emulating, like videos,
well,
you know as well as I do, Toni Braxton is a prime example of looking rich and being broke. TLC, looking rich and being broke. People look at this and think it's real, not realizing the videos are rented, the clothes are rented.
The jewelry is provided by people that can't afford it.
Right.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the video, they have to take it all off and put their blue jeans back on and go home in a trailer.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe not trailer. I mean, I lived in L.A. You did. You've seen the boutiques there that are always closed and only open when they have one client come in. Now, they'll dress like that. They'll dress in their high heels when they go to get their private showing with private models in their private little boutique on Sunset or on,
I'm just saying we're emulating stuff that's not real,
right.
And I don't think our young people or people around us even know what's real and what's not real. Who's 724? Your mic is on.
Hi Tracy, how are you?
Hey Larry, where are you in the middle of a bush? Where are you?
I am on Route 7.
Okay, that was South Carolina. That was South Carolina making all that noise. That wasn't you. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Okay, how you doing?
Yeah, wonderful. It's I think spring is here.
I think spring has sprung. Hold on, listen. I got to take a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. Hold the line. We'll see you on the other side of our break.
SOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren, the home for afternoons with Tracy and friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
Find sweeping gun control legislation in the wake of the Newtown school shootings. The president will meet with Sandy Hook families. More from ABC's Ann Compton.
11 parents of Newtown victims will be in the audience to hear President Obama in Connecticut, and then they will fly with him here to Washington on board Air Force One, so that they can lobby Capitol Hill as the Senate starts debate on background checks and anti-trafficking legislation.
President Obama says former British Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher, who died today at 87, was a great champion of freedom and an example to women everywhere. He said Britain's first female prime minister showed our daughters that there is no glass ceiling that can't be shattered. Thatcher, a strong presence in Parliament.
I'm dubbed as a reactionary. Maggie Thatcher, reactionary. Well, Mr. Chairman, there's a lot to react against.
Rutgers University is setting up an independent investigation to look into the scandal involving the school's former basketball coach, Mike Rice. He was fired last week after a video surfaced showing him pushing and kicking players and hurling gay slurs at them during practice. ABC's Gio Benitez says federal agents are looking into another former Rutgers employee, the so-called whistleblower.
An FBI agent was on the school's campus looking at claims that former Rutgers employee Eric Murdoch tried to extort the university before releasing the video, reportedly demanding $950,000 from the university to settle employment issues, or he'd file a lawsuit.
Family and friends are remembering film critic Roger Ebert at a funeral in Chicago. Ebert died last week at the age of 70 after a long battle with cancer. This is ABC News.
Hi, this is Dick Morris. Obamacare is taking full effect this year with over 15,000 pages of regulations. You need to know how this law affects you. That's why you should get your copy of Obamacare Survival Guide. It's easy to read and the best guide to the new law. Even if you're currently insured or a senior on Medicare or a business owner, a medical profession, or really any citizen, you need the Obamacare Survival Guide. In it, you'll find about hidden taxes, fees, and fines, including a 40% tax on some health plans. I warned you about Obamacare, its rationing, Medicare cuts, and will trigger doctor shortages. Now the Obamacare Survival Guide gives you the simple steps to protect your family. So get the Obamacare Survival Guide at bookstores everywhere. It's already a number one Amazon bestseller. Or get our special $4.95 offer and save $15 today by going to Obamacare911.com. Obamacare911.com. That's Obamacare911.com.
The size of the plate your child uses could affect the size of their waist, according to a new study.
Check your kitchen cabinets. Eating habits of 48 children from two first-grade classrooms were noted for eight lunches. They served themselves with either 7 1/4 or 10 1/4-inch plates. The amount of food they chose was quietly weighed. As previous studies showed in adults, this one from Philadelphia's Center for Obesity Research, indicated kids ate more, including fruit, when the plate was larger. Fortunately, those who ate more also burned more calories. It's in the journal Pediatrics. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
A civil trial gets underway in California today over whether the nation's largest baby food makers should alert consumers that some products contain low amounts of lead. A lawsuit claims California law requires Gerber, Del Monte, Beech Nut, and other makers of baby food and juices to put lead warning labels on products sold in the state. The food companies say the lead levels are below the standards that require a warning. Joan Bennett, ABC News.
Are any of these symptoms familiar? Weight gain, hot flashes, rapid heartbeat, night sweats? How about fatigue, nausea, low libido, and fat storage? If you're a woman over 40 experiencing any of these symptoms, you probably have hormonal imbalance. Ambrin.
If you have a parent entering a nursing home, are the executor of an estate, or just need a will, this message is for you. The Law Office of J.M. Shade is able to help you make the right choices to ensure that you and your family are protected. Call us toll-free, 866-606-6187. Again, 866-606-6187. Or see our site for more information at jmselderlaw.com. jmselderlaw.com. Estate planning made simple.
Hi, this is Dick Morris. Obamacare is taking full effect this year with over 15,000 pages of regulations. You need to know how this law affects you. That's why you should get your copy of Obamacare Survival Guide. It's easy to read and the best guide to the new law. Even if you're currently insured or a senior on Medicare or a business owner, a medical profession, or really any citizen, you need the Obamacare Survival Guide. In it, you'll find about hidden taxes, fees, and fines, including a 40% tax on some health plans. I warned you about Obamacare, its rationing, Medicare cuts, and will trigger doctor shortages. Now the Obamacare Survival Guide gives you the simple steps to protect your family. So get the Obamacare Survival Guide at bookstores everywhere. It's already a number one Amazon bestseller. Or get our special $4.95 offer and save $15 today by going to Obamacare911.com. Obamacare911.com. That's Obamacare911.com.
Hey, Dad, how's it going?
I'm okay. I'm still a little sore.
You're lucky you didn't break something with that fall you took.
I'll be fine. Just need to watch where I'm going.
Dad, I wanted to talk to you about something that's been on my mind.
What's that, son?
Just hear me out. What do you think about moving to...
Not that retirement community thing again.
I went online and found out about Copeland Oaks. It's close by and looks like a great place.
No, not for me.
But, Dad, with Mom gone and you home by yourself, I just want to make sure you're okay.
I'm fine. I'm not ready for a nursing home.
Dad, it's not a nursing home. It's a retirement community with younger, active people just like you. It's not like it used to be. They have really nice apartments, even real homes in a neighborhood, plenty of activities, good food, and they've been around for a long time.
I don't know.
You can still do everything you normally do, only you have people around who can help if you need it.
Well, maybe.
You know, they've even got a stocked pond.
Now, that's the best thing I've heard yet.
Call 1-800-222-4640 or go to CopelandOaks.com. Copeland Oaks, a faith-based retirement community. People of all faiths welcome.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
Winter weather is unpredictable, so call Safe Auto today for affordable state minimum coverage. That way, when things get slippery, you can take comfort in the knowledge that you're covered. Call 1-800-SAFE-AUTO now. Drive safe, spend less.
Underwater? Upside down? Do these terms describe your current mortgage situation? Jay Farner here from Quicken Loans to tell you that it may be time to get HARPed. With HARP, you may be able to refinance at a lower rate even if your home has lost value. Millions of homeowners are eligible for this program right now, including hundreds of thousands who currently have a mortgage with Bank of America. That's right, hundreds of thousands of Bank of America clients are eligible for HARP and have not yet taken advantage of this opportunity.
Hello, and welcome to today's lottery drawing. Good luck. And here's today's winning numbers. First one up, it's not yours. Second one, not yours. And another number that's not yours. Okay, this is one number that's yours. It's a five, but you don't get any money for that. And the final number is not yours.
Yep, so chances are you're not going to hit the lottery anytime soon. Don't get us wrong. The lottery can be fun every now and then. Just please don't rely on it for your future savings. How about this? Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte every day. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering in. Ride your bike instead of buying all that gas. These changes alone can save you thousands a year. Thousands. Small changes today, big bucks tomorrow. Feed that piggy bank. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
I give way to the Honourable Gentleman.
There is no doubt that the Prime Minister has in many ways achieved substantial success.
Yeah.
There is one statistic that I understand is not, however, challenging, and that is that over her 11 years, the gap between the richest 10% and the poorest 10% in this country has widened substantially. How can she say at the end of her chapter of British politics that she can justify many people in a constituency such as mine being relatively much poorer, much less well-housed, and much less well-provided than it was in 1979? Surely she accepts that is not a record that she or any Prime Minister can be proud of.
Mr. Speaker, all levels of income are better off than they were in 1979. But what the Honourable Member is saying is that he would rather the poor were poorer, provided the rich were less rich. That way you will never create the wealth for better social services as we have. And what a policy. Yes, he would rather have the poor poorer, provided the rich were less rich. That is a liberal policy. Yes, it came out. He didn't intend it to, but he did.
I give way to the Honourable Gentleman.
I'm extremely grateful. The Prime Minister is aware that I detest every single one of her domestic policies and have never had that.
And I think that the Honourable Gentleman knows that I have the same contempt for his socialist policies as the people of East Europe who have experienced it have it for that. I think I must have hit the right nail on the head when I pointed out that the logic of those policies are they'd rather have the poor poorer. Once they start to talk about the gap, they'd rather the gap were that. Down here. That. Not that. That. So long as the gap is smaller, they'd rather have the poor poorer. You do not create wealth and opportunity that way. You do not create a property-owning democracy that way.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. That was Margaret Thatcher on socialism. What did you say?
Isn't what she said just brilliant, right on the mark? I mean, she single-handedly almost undid everything George Soros did to the country of England.
Thank you. Thanks for making the connection.
George Soros, the man who destroyed the pound.
Yeah, and the man who's trying now to destroy the dollar here in our country with the Democratic Party and some Republicans, too.
Well, some Republicans and Ben Bernanke.
You're right.
John McCain.
I thought John McCain was a conservative.
He's not a conservative.
He's a progressive.
He's a progressive Republican.
You think he's a progressive?
Actually, I think he's a Democrat. I mean, by the definition of the word, he's a Democrat.
Him and Lindsey Graham both.
Yeah. How's he go? And I like Lindsey Graham.
I mean, he wanted to take Joe Lieberman as his running mate. What's that tell you?
That was his friend and he trusted him.
Well,
I wanted to take him hunting, but that's another story.
Understood. But no, he's nothing but, you know, but the progressive liberal, and the thing is he's just in the Republican Party.
So what would be the difference between a John McCain administration and a Barack Obama administration, or would there be none?
There would be slightly different.
Socialism at sonic speed versus socialism in a rowboat.
Right.
Yeah, but they're both.
But they're going the same place.
Yeah, they're both on the same river to hell.
Hey, Larry, how you doing, darling?
Good, good. I believe I heard earlier Margaret Thatcher's husband was named Dennis, and I believe he passed away about 10 years prior to she did. So I heard somebody ask if she was married. Yes, she was
married.
Yeah,
I wanted to know.
Yeah, mm-hmm. His name was Dennis, and I believe he died 10 years ago.
Okay, so she was a widow.
Yeah, she was a widow, but that speech you just played was fantastic. You could put that today right where we're at, and everything that she said back then stands true today.
Yes, it does.
I want to see if the left give her death as much play and airtime as they did Chavez.
Yeah, really.
That would be interesting. I doubt it.
Well, I wonder if Sean Penn's going to fly over to Great Britain for that one.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
No, Dennis Rodman now.
Oh, not even Dennis.
Actually, Dennis is getting ready. He got fired last night.
But you were talking about something earlier, Tracy, about cosmetic surgery.
Yeah.
I think you remember my wife went through breast cancer. She's
right.
Three times five, and she had that partial mastectomy, and she thought she wanted it, but I told her she didn't need it. So I think that's sometimes what – it's not the guys that are out here saying we want all this. I think a lot of times, like somebody – I think maybe Jeff said or somebody said that the women want that because the guys – I told her at that point, just lop them off. I wasn't really too overly concerned about the breasts at that point. I wanted to make sure she was here for me.
But you know what? You have – you know, guys, you need to tell your wives that because you have to understand a lot of times we connect our – connection with you to what we think you want or how we think you want us to look a lot of times. And if you don't tell us that what we're going to do is we will assume some stuff because we don't communicate as effectively as we should. And
I agree. Yeah, I agree there because, I mean, I told her, and I'll keep it PG, but, you know, when she was talking about, you know, what we were going to do and the mastectomies where we were going, I'm a buttocks guy, so I told her, I said, lop them off. Now, if you had butt cancer, then we'd start saving for some implants there. But other than that, I mean, she knows. but she knows, and those of us that are married for a long time, this is my second go-around, Tracy, and we do. We communicate a lot, and I think that helps both of us on where we're at.
But you understand where I'm coming from when I say that women, we really, because we're screwed up in the head when you get us, and then we assume things matter to our men, and it
well,
doesn't matter.
Well, sadly, my wife had a pretty bad overbite when we got married, and we went and got her braces.
Okay.
And believe it or not, once she got her braces and got through with everything, she's gotten more raises and larger raises.
But I'm talking
working for the same people.
But I'm talking about even if she did better in the workplace. It's different when she comes home, and if her husband loves her overbite, and he lets her know that overbite or her gap or her teeth or her whatever is that's what he is attracted to, or her weight, her eyes or whatever it is, then it gives her affirmation no matter what other people say outside. But a lot of times we don't communicate that effectively, and men, you guys, it's not like you guys, you know, are very oratorical when it comes to that kind of thing all the time. And then we don't come out and ask. I mean, we'll ask you, does my butt look big in these jeans, which is I'm having a weight problem.
That's a loaded question, though, Tracy.
But that's
yeah.
You guys can't ask them loaded questions like that.
I know, but every woman that I know, including myself, I've asked a man, does my butt look fat in these jeans? And it's a question that we don't want the answer to, but you got to understand the state of mind that we're in with our lack of communication selves, as communicative as we are. And how it shapes our psyche, and that's why we are stupid and we do dumb stuff.
So there is no proper answer to that question, then.
Yeah, there is. Yeah, there is. The proper answer is those jeans look big.
Yeah.
That's the proper answer to that.
Okay.
No, the proper answer is I shouldn't have to ask it.
Exactly. But you're going to anyway. That's what y'all do.
Mm-hmm.
But I ask it because of my issues, and so if when I ask that question, you ought to know that I'm still messed up in the head with my personal appearance.
This is why I don't wear glasses around the house.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on, Larry. Larry, you called in. What did you want to talk about?
Well, I just heard you talking about whether she was married or not and all that, and I had heard that somebody, or maybe I read that, I don't know. It came up on the Drudge first thing on one of his alerts. And they did mention that he passed away in 2003, and they remembered that.
I heard that this morning, and from my friends in the UK, that they were both just wonderful, wonderful people, to the quote unquote hired help. I guess her husband would go down in the basement and play cards for hours with the security detail.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So he was down to earth.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, she was a heavy hitter. There's no doubt about it.
Oh, she was respected across the globe because she had integrity. She was not a politician. She was, as a matter of fact, this is the way it's going to be. She was a lot like Ronald Reagan.
Yeah.
And you know, I heard Fred Laffer this morning discussing that, and he made the statement. He said she ruled with common sense and logic, and once you hit the logic point, who can be against that point? But you know, today there, of course, we see that there are.
If you don't believe what Jeff just said, ask the Argentinians.
From what I remember, you know, I was in the service at that time, and from what I remember, she was pretty much the epitome of what a strong, confident woman is.
Oh, yeah.
Confident man, too. She's got more confidence than most men I know.
Yeah, she didn't pull no punches.
I mean, could you imagine Obama sticking up saying something like Thatcher did?
Oh,
never.
That ain't going to happen.
Yeah, he doesn't have anything. Margaret was more of a man than he'll ever be.
Well, that's, Ronald Reagan called her the strongest man in Britain.
No doubt about it. I mean, and that is a severe compliment. I mean, that's a compliment.
They didn't call her the Iron Lady for nothing.
No, Iron Maiden, the Iron Maiden.
No, that
Iron
was the
Maiden.
Band. Or Torture Device.
I've seen one.
Yeah.
If you've been to London, you've seen one.
Oh, yeah.
Did you go to the Torture Museum when you were over there?
No, but I did go to the
Tower of London.
Tower, yeah.
Yeah. That place is cool.
I know. I can't wait to go back. I wonder if I can bring an Iron Maiden back with me.
No, 267, your mic is on.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask, with 90 million people dropping out of the labor force in March, and you have an increase of 670,000 that dropped out in the month of March, and you have a record of 90 million that are currently not in the labor force, do you think with the situation with North Korea, if that goes into a war type situation, if they shoot a missile into South Korea and we go to war with North Korea, don't you think that the military is going to bring back the draft if they have so many males in the population that are not in the job market?
Absolutely not, because the next war is not going to be fought with men, it's going to be fought machinery and explosives that need one man to push a button.
Well,
so
listen, I think they ought to reenact the draft and put women and make women sign up for selective service, since we want equal rights. Since we want to make all things equal, we want to be on the front line. We want to wear the pants and we want to be men. I think selective service women ought to be registered too.
Yeah.
I do not.
But if they allow women in combat, then they should make. Like all the females have to register.
Absolutely.
As well.
We want to be equal.
If they reenact the draft, they will draft females.
But you missed my point. Right now, we do not have to. We do not register for selective service. And the question is, why not? Why
you
are we
will.
Not?
You're
like,
just
you
saying
will.
That since you're too young to go.
But my question is, why are we not doing it now? Why are we? We're fighting for equal. So why are we not fighting for that?
Because we're worried about the Rainbow Coalition's aims and goals first. Then we'll get to the women.
Huh?
Gay rights is more of an issue right now than equal rights for women.
You missed my point.
No, I'm saying it's not.
You missed my point. The question is, you have yet to hear women jump up and down and scream about being a part of selective service and register.
Yeah.
You have yet to hear them say anything about that.
Didn't G.I. Jane want to fight for the North Vietnamese?
But yet they campaigned to be part of combat units, namely the Marines and the Navy SEALs. They've campaigned with different people who are feminists to try to get women into those combat units.
There still isn't any women in the Navy SEALs.
That may be true. We're not in the Navy SEALs, but we are not fighting for if we want to be equal and we say we want to be equal, then why are we not yelling for our young ladies to sign up for selective service?
To be honest with you, a woman's body is better shaped than a man's to be a fighter pilot.
You missed it. You know, y'all are just so shallow.
No, I'm very serious.
So shallow.
It all comes down to blood flow. You know, men have to wear pressurized suits to keep the blood out of their legs.
So shallow.
We hear you,
Tracy. Shallow.
It's just that the reason it's not pushed is because it's not sexy right now.
And it's,
you know.
Okay. Thank you very much.
That's not a sexy issue right now.
But sexy is going after the president because he told the woman that she was the most beautiful AG in America. That was sexy?
As far as I can see, he was absolutely correct.
Yeah. There's three things I agree with Obama on.
Yeah.
After 5 years, 6 years, like three things.
I've not seen a DA look like that before.
And they're jumping up and down because he said she was good looking, and that diminishes her mental capacity. Hello.
Now every good looking person ought to raise up and protest the stupid behind left. But you know what? Most of the feminists are so doggone.
I made that.
Well, leave that alone. Leave that alone.
But I mean,
they're ugly.
You understand what I'm saying?
They hit.
We sit up here and we make comments. You could have called, you know, Thatcher whatever you wanted. She had respect in her own right just by who she was. She could be pretty. She could not be pretty. It wasn't about her looks. But there's nothing wrong with complimenting somebody about something. But selective service, we don't want to go chase after that. But we want to chase about going and carrying a gun and being on the front line and leaving our kids behind.
Hey,
I'm just saying. Hey, 724, your mic is on. Chicago, your mic is on.
I'm still shaking my head that Barack Obama got sworn in with Martin Luther King's Bible.
Well, Martin Luther King's Bible.
This guy, you know, his mother shielded him from racism by raising him in Hawaii in the 60s and the 70s.
Well, you know, I mean, people forget that he grew up in the most expensive zip code in Hawaii, and he went to one of the most expensive private elementary and high schools in the state.
They never told you that one, Sticks.
Yeah, he definitely didn't grow up like the average African-American male, but yet African-American men have a tendency to embrace him now, but he doesn't share any of the things that they had to go through in American society.
You know what's really strange?
Any of that.
I've got to go through more of a background check to buy a handgun than what the president has to do to get elected.
Well, we need to change that.
That should be changed anyhow.
Yeah.
The vetting process for the presidency should be changed no matter what.
I mean, as far as I'm concerned, in order to run for president, you ought to have to be able to pass a special background investigation from the FBI like anybody else.
No, that's
like anybody else with a top secret clearance.
That's too far.
Because if you're going to have access to the nation's secrets.
Well, if you're going to be the commander in chief.
That's too far. That's too much.
You should have to. Everybody that goes into the military has to have a background check.
Exactly.
So if he's going to become a leader of the military, it's almost common sense, but then again, people in D.C. don't have that.
Because the requirements of it are part of your constitution.
Well, they knew what his background was, but he was chosen to serve in this particular capacity because he's being controlled by other people that have this type of agenda where they want to see America go into a social democracy.
Hey, has anybody noticed he hasn't aged?
Who?
Black don't
Obama.
Crack. Black don't crack. Okay.
No, he's aged quite a bit.
You think?
Yeah,
his face hasn't.
Yeah,
he's aged quite a
his
bit.
His hair has gotten more gray.
But you got to understand, black people age differently.
No doubt about it.
You got to be honest about that. Black don't crack like that, like other folks crack.
This is true because without plastic surgery, we look pretty good in our 70s.
Yeah, as we go but, higher. As a matter of fact, a lot of us mellow with age. We look better when we get older than we did when we were younger.
You're right.
As African Americans. That's just true.
You know, not only is he grayer, but they had a thing, it was early in the election, where they were talking about Barack and Bones because he had lost so much weight. So, I mean, he's aged, but that's the job. You see all the presidents that go in and they come out. It's just the pressure because they don't, I mean, Barack gets a lot of time off. I mean, I see him golf more than anybody that I know. But he's
aged.
You know, the pressure's there.
The question is, is the pressure really there?
Oh my God, yes.
The pressure's definitely there. Things he has to contend with, the economy, foreign policy.
Wait a minute. Let me finish my question. Because if the pressure was there, don't you think he would do more about the pressure that he's under? Because I don't see. I see him manipulating the situation, but I don't see him doing anything about it. When I look at even the budget, even the games that are played, you know, he's not doing anything about what's going on.
I honestly believe he thinks he was hired to manage the decline of the United States. He was seen carrying that one book.
Yeah, right.
What
he's doing is he's following the game plan that was set out for him at the time that he started. the presidency. So
I mean,
he's just following a path, and everybody is, you know, getting angry about it, but that's the path that was chosen for him.
Just think about this. You're the president of the United States. Somebody tells you, Mr. President, we found more oil in the United States than all the Middle East put together, and you don't say go get it. You say let's build wind farms and solar panels.
Well, there's a reason. But this is a plan, Doc. Mm. They knew we had this oil for a number of years. And we're thinking that it's newly discovered here in the past 2 to 3 years, but they've known for 15 years that we've had this oil up under the center of the United States and in our area.
They couldn't get it out cost effectively.
Well, yeah, they could. Yes, no, they could have nothing
to do
with that. We've been fracking for 75 years.
No, we're talking about here under
horizontal drilling.
Horizontal drilling, the technology actually.
Actually, the oil here is so close to the surface.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, we had the technology a long time ago to get it.
They know we had it. Listen what I'm telling you. This is what, like I said, a high-ranking chaplain in the United States Army was told by one of his friends that's in intelligence. He said that they had to, since the 1950s, they said they have to destroy the God of America so that they can bring America down so that they can create the one world government. America's light years ahead of everybody else, and they have to whittle it down little bits and pieces at a time. That's why you have an abortion that's not going away. That's why you have the drugs in the inner city and the killings, and they're not going away. That's why you have all this, because it's a plan. It's not just something that happened, or we've got to this place by, you know, happen chance. We just demoralized. No, we were demoralized as a people. Okay, not just black people, the whole United States. They plan to do it so that they can whittle us down to be even with everybody else.
Let me rephrase this. I'm going to take a break in just a second, but I want to get this out because this is what I'm saying. You are right in the program and the process, but what we're saying is the cost effectiveness that has come to the surface of fracking and horizontal fracking, getting it up, because yes, we have oil up to the surface, but getting it out into distribution, the problem now is they don't want it in the mainstream, and that's why you see all of the riffraff behind it, because their program wants to go through, but the technology, because the precision. They tell me the precision of the, it's like, you know, what if you look at, we are, I can, when you look at additive copying right now, additive manufacturing, NAMLA, that's downtown Youngstown, that is, they may have had it in the process 20 years ago, but right now, being able to take your computer and put it in a copy machine, and 3 hours later coming out with the same thing. You got to understand, that's some heavy duty stuff.
They can 3D print those. They can 3D firearms.
Right. And so when you look at the technology that has come into it has come to the knowledge, because even with computers and our tablets and our phones, the biggest problem that they had was they couldn't get a battery that was small enough, that wasn't hot enough. And so we're saying they may have had it, but when the release of it, and now in wide distribution, now we are light years above where we ever could be. So when you look at, yeah, they're still trying to squash and control the oil coming out of the ground and all of this, but a lot of things had a time frame on it just by the knowledge and the release of people, because it's just a lot of technology out there right now, and it's overwhelming.
But also with the advent of robotics and, like, different kind of things, like any kind of artificial intelligence when it comes to computer science, that's going to replace a lot of people as well. So they're not going to need as many people because they're going to have the machines doing it. And a lot of the science fiction movies that come out that talk about robots taking over and robot armies and so forth, these are things that are things that are being developed now.
And you can see it.
Yeah.
But why aren't we teaching our children to think outside of the box and so they can create the jobs of the future that people will do? You don't need people swinging sledgehammers no more.
You're because you'd be well, you'd be raising Republicans then.
Well, it's not more. It's bigger than Republicans.
Well, conservatives.
And it's bigger than conservatives.
Because
if they're taking all moral fabric out of society, it's bigger than conservatives.
Well, it's more than taking it out. They're indoctrinating our youth now, keeping them to 7:30 in some school districts at night. I mean, come on. They are indoctrinating these children to be little radicals.
The president wants your children at 3 years old.
What did Hitler say about children?
I don't need you. I got your children.
Exactly.
And that's what we are. We'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM. You were my fear. You were my fear. You got the bomb on me. You turn me up. You turn me on.
Do you depend on your computer? Then you know that a virus on your computer is bad news. But there is something you can do. Just call this number, 330-759-9700. That's 330-759-9700. That's the number for Ambassador Technologies in Liberty Township. Ambassador Technologies specializes in virus removal and restores your computer to full performance. We also specialize in computer repair, from desktops, laptops, laptop screens, laptop power supplies, laptop batteries, and hardware updates. And when your business needs networking, Ambassador Technologies is the place to go. Ambassador Technologies, Youngstown's best for computer repair, networking, website development, and even low-cost business cards and publishing. Call Ambassador Technologies at 330-759-9700. Online at ambastech.com. That's ambassTech.com.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. The full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Fit Family. Unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austintown receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
I'm Mark Lavoie, WSOM News. Firefighters pulled the body of a man from a house where a fire had broken out Saturday in Mecca Township in Trumbull County. The man whose body was found in the rubble has been identified as 53-year-old Daniel Jabodian, a former employee of the Warren Water Department. Jabodian's wife said she received a text from him saying he wanted to commit suicide. Police in North Carolina have arrested a 20-year-old man in connection with a homicide that took place in Warren last Thursday. Patrick Heltzel of Warren is accused in the death of 71-year-old Milton Grumbling. Police did not immediately release the cause of Grumbling's death. And Ohio State University says the number of applications from out-of-state students has topped those from in-state students for the first time. The university says the trend reflects recruiting efforts developed as the number of high school graduates in Ohio continues to drop. You're up to date. I'm Mark LaVoy, WSOM News.
The Druschel Financial Report on News Talk 600, Saturdays at 8:30. Bob Druschel discusses investment strategies for today's fast-moving financial markets. That's Saturdays at 8:30 on News Talk 600, WSOM. At News Talk 600, business is good, and we're growing again. We're looking for a new sales representative to join our team. If your current job has limited potential, then you need to schedule a personal interview today. Here's what some of our representatives have to say about a selling career in radio.
I love my job. I'm great at what I do because I believe in my product. We have the top-rated radio stations in the market, and I'm proud to introduce those radio stations to my clients.
I love going out and talking to new people, being able to create new ideas for them. Just so much fun to be part of that, knowing that I was an asset to their business.
Working in radio is a blast. We get to be a part of community events, work on creative campaigns for my clients. I believe in my product.
Send your resume now to brad.marshall@cumulus.com. We're an equal opportunity employer. One of the hardest things to say is, I love you. If you find it difficult to express your feelings, spend an evening with Dr. Gary Chapman, author of The Five Love Languages, on Thursday, April 25th at Powers Auditorium. Millions of couples have learned this simple way to express their feelings and bring joy back into their marriage. Dr. Chapman has helped couples all over the world gain fresh new insights into their relationships. That's Saturday, April 25th, starting at 7:30 p.m. at Stambaugh Auditorium. Tickets are $20, $35, and $45. Order yours online at youngstownsymphony.com or call 330-744-0264. Brought to you by Achievers USA, offering exclusive leadership training and seminars in Northeast Ohio. That's Dr. Gary Chapman, Thursday, April 25th at Powers Auditorium. Call 330-744-0264 or online at youngstownsymphony.com.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. I'm going to play a clip. It's a real short clip. Then we're going to open up. It's open mic, so. But this is just things that we find as we travel along the way that just rattle our minds. So we're going to play it, hopefully, then come back and talk about it. Because you have to understand, people are out for your souls and for your future. So we'll see you on the side. Go ahead.
We have never invested as much in public education as we should have, because we've always had kind of a private notion of children. Your kid is yours and totally your responsibility. We haven't had a very collective notion of these are our children. So part of it is we have to break through our kind of private idea that kids belong to their parents or kids belong to their families and recognize that kids belong to whole communities. Once it's everybody's responsibility and not just the household, then we start making better investments.
So what do you think about that?
I think that's right on.
That's scary.
I want to know
who she is.
Yeah, well, that's basically what Adolf said.
Well, but the thing is, when everybody owns something, nobody owns something.
Exactly. So who's responsible?
Nobody.
Exactly. So.
South Carolina, your mic is on.
I want to know who the heck she is so I can stay the heck away from her.
That's Melissa Harris something.
From MSNBC.
Yeah. Well, tell Melissa that wherever she is, tell her to stay the heck out of South Kakalaki.
But you know what? I understand let me say it this way. I understand that we ought to take ownership of our community. but my children are mine, but then I should be responsible as a parent so no one else has to raise my child for me but me.
But by the same token, the system that we in this room grew up under, where if the next-door neighbor seen you doing something and they gave you a swat on the behind for it, and your mom and dad gave you another swat on the behind for bothering the neighbor, that system's gone.
Right.
Well, that's the kind of community.
Most people are not going to put their hands on other people's children because they don't want to be shot. And especially if you're dealing with the inner city, a lot of people have guns, and the crime rate is very high. And a lot of crimes occur that are not reported in the newspaper or on the television news. People don't want any violence to happen to them as a result of them trying to reprimand some other person's children.
See, this is my problem. When you walk across my yard and mess with my dog or my stuff, I'd be able to yell out of there and say, listen, I'm going to call your mama if you do it again.
No, you got to live in Texas. You just be able to shoot them.
Now I can't do that.
Not in this state.
Oh.
See, go ahead.
Well, the issue I have with what you just said, this is Philly, right?
Yeah.
Is the neighborhood that I live in probably is more heavily armed than any inner city neighborhood. And we don't shoot each other for reprimanding each other's kids.
Well, you know, I don't know the number of arms that are probably between the urban or the rural areas, but you know, people can fight with their hands or their fists, but normally people who live in the city, they, you know, you have to watch what you say to people on a daily basis,
but
and you can't
involve the problem, Philadelphia.
With other people's children.
See, this is the problem. See, this is the issue. Where we come from, your neighbors had the ability, even if they didn't spank you, they had the authority to threaten you for what you did wrong. See, I'm not a big cusser now, but I'm definitely not going to curse in front of the neighbor or my friend's grandma or none of that. I'm not going to cuss her out. But then you have to understand, I got to play this. And then I'll, so that we really can comprehend what's really going on here. Because this...
Right my arm, and that hurt. Look at me, the right to strike me with your elbow.
Dude, the first time you went like that to me, I ignored it. And you jabbed me again.
I didn't jab you.
And I could see where it was going, and what I said to you, and this was a word of warning.
I jabbed you. I did not jab you.
I
you jabbed me.
I was petrified, and what I said to you is physical acts of aggression get taken very seriously on an airplane. If you begin to get aggressive, they will put handcuffs on you.
I was getting your attention. I did this. I was tapping your arm with my elbow.
I had
you went like that.
I had told you on more than one occasion that I wasn't putting the volume down.
Well, you know what? I kept acting because it was driving me crazy.
So then you decided to do this, and after the second one, I gave you one back as a way to say, stop it.
And you said, that's enough?
Exactly.
No, yeah, you got my attention, but I'm not a dog.
So why don't you heed my suggestions of stop it when I ask politely?
Because you're not the complete boss of me. I control my body, I control what I do, and you don't have the right to hit me that hard. I lightly tapped your arm with my elbow. Stop, let me talk. I lightly tapped your arm with my elbow to get your attention. Bam, right in my arm. It actually left a mark for about 20 minutes. But 20 minutes later, it was finally
fixed. Backing up, you said you're not the boss of me. I am the boss of you. When a mother says to be quiet, she's the boss of you, and you need to listen to that. Final line.
I never said.
When a teacher says something, she's the boss of you, and you need to listen.
Shut up! Give me a turn to speak! Fine, see? You do that to me. How does it feel? How does it feel to be told to shut up?
We've talked about
it. Let me speak. How does that feel?
Do not.
How does that feel?
Do not. Put your hands on me. Do you understand me?
Do you understand me?
No, I asked you a question.
You know what? Shut up. Apparently that's the only one that gets your attention. How does that make you feel?
of course, always knew that there was an incredible amount of rage.
Now, I want y'all to understand. He was talking to his mama. And you're not the boss of me. And you got to understand, this young man, he slapped his mother. So I don't know if y'all heard all that.
I see that kid. And anywhere, anytime, I will level him out.
Well, that's
so
one
put
thing.
Me in jail now.
Right.
I'll tell you what, he won't need dental surgery. He'll look like he's a hockey player.
Yeah. I'll be out of jail before you get out of the hospital, boy.
You think? yeah, I mean, seriously, that
I'm,
kid.
I'm serious.
If I see that kid do that to his mother.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. So put me in jail.
But then again, my mother.
Put me in jail.
But then again, my mother wouldn't have, I mean, my mom would have laid me out. If I wasn't big enough, she'd have picked up something and hit me.
I may just belt the mother, too, for not raising that kid right.
Thank you. Give me that.
Tracy.
Right there. Put me in jail now.
Tracy, can I have my black card back?
How do you not deal with that young child and not call him a problem? Because if he talks to his mother that way,
his mother's the problem.
Well, how's he going to treat his wife?
How's he going to treat his teacher?
Hey, Tracy.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That kid's going to be like Jeffrey Dahmer.
South Carolina?
I know you have to know.
What?
I just want to know. Can I have my black card back so I can go find this kid?
Oh. I think it's a multicolored card there.
Oh, my goodness. You have to understand, there are children out there who talk to their parents like that on an ongoing basis. So question is, now, whose responsibility is it for that to take authority over that child, to raise that child now? Because that child needs to go to prison, because I'm going to kill him.
I'm 48 years old, and if my mom told me to sit down and shut up, guess what I'm going to do?
Sit down and shut up.
That's right, because that's what she told me to do.
I'm trying to tell you.
You guys.
Because guess what?
Go ahead.
In her house, she's still the boss of me.
No, in my house, she's still the boss of me.
Yeah.
Have you understand? I mean, come on. We don't cuss.
For the listeners,
what?
This little kid reached out and jack smacked his mama upside the face. And that's when we reacted. The mics were down, but we reacted so voluminously, I think we moved all the people out the building.
I was there 10 minutes before. I would have leveled that kid and then leveled his mother, too.
My mom would have picked up something, and when she got done working me over, I'd have never raised a hand again.
What do you mean raised a hand? I wouldn't have a hand.
Wait. Where's the father?
As a matter of fact, have you heard about Marvin?
Where's the father?
Yeah. I'd be hanging out with Marvin talking about how we got there.
Yeah. Where's that kid's
father? I want to know where that video is so I can send it to my mom.
Oh, my God.
I showed it to my mom the other day.
My mom was living.
Is this on YouTube?
I'll send it to my mom right now.
I'm going to send it to my mom so she at least appreciates me a little more.
Yeah.
y'all don't know how to act.
I can't believe
this. Go to my Facebook page, South Carolina, and you'll see it there.
Okay.
It was on Dr. Phil.
Wow.
Man, it would have been funeral services will be held for little Johnny Walker here, who reached out and smacked his daddy or his mama. In an argument in a domestic matter, his father is out on bail.
I brought you in this world. I'll take you out and make another one look just like
you.
So when you talk about now, you got to understand this is what you call. He said you're not the boss of me. You have to understand this is a liberal way of thinking and raising children, because they tell the children that they have more rights than you do as a parent. That's one. Secondly, if you look at what happened with birth control last week, and the FDA saying the morning after
can be taken
over the counter and sold to anyone who walks in.
12-year-old girl.
At no age. So I can't go and get a Sudafed without showing my license, but my 10-year-old, 13-year-old, 9-year-old, 8-year-old daughter can go in, and she can buy a morning after pill. And no questions asked, and not have to tell me. If I send Tylenol or Motrin to school with my daughter because she has cramps, she can't take that. But she can take a morning after pill with my consent.
If you send your daughter with braces with a butter knife, she gets expelled.
So I just want everyone to understand what we are doing here.
Yeah, but also it's a, you know, this is a symptom of giving children too much while they're in the home. It's obvious from the conversation that the boy is spoiled. So it's just so the parent would have to exercise like some type of discipline right away to make sure that the whole situation doesn't get out of hand.
Philadelphia, listen. Let me say this. I don't think there are too many people who were as spoiled as I am and was as a kid. But let me tell you when the spoiling stopped. Spoiling stopped. I've never raised my voice. I've never talked back. I couldn't roll my eyes. I've never slammed the door, and I couldn't stomp. I think that took away all my rights. I'm very, very spoiled. I am. I've always been spoiled, and I'm not going to lie and say that I'm not.
We couldn't tell.
But there comes a that's not even human respect. You know, we have taken this liberal mindset of children, and this ties to socialism. Because right now we have other people teaching our children their beliefs on their moral fabric and where they're going. And I don't think we're understanding how severe this is, because the severity is very, very deep, more so than what we think.
Well, they want your children.
They don't want your children. They have your children. The question is, when are you going to take your children back?
But the thing is, the system won't allow you to take your children back.
That's not true. I'm going
to
take
my... They've got your kid. If they've got your kid 10 hours a day, there's nothing you can do to get that child
but
back.
But I have open enrollment. When you have a child, and this is something that we're going to have to start really teaching our young people when they're growing up. Children are a responsibility of the parents, and you have to adjust for the child and what you have. If you have a child, then you need to take responsibility for it. We don't teach that responsibility factor, not even to the young people who are having kids or who are getting married. That's why you got 10 and 15 men and women having 10 and 15 kids, because no one's told them about the responsibility of raising them and training them and teaching them.
Used to be in my wife's grandfather's generation, when you had 10 or 15 kids, you were taking care of your 10 or 15 kids.
That's what I'm saying.
My wife's grandfather had 16 children.
That's what I'm saying. So why would I have that many children and not be taught from a child that I need to have responsibility of the children that I have, that I birthed? We've got young men who are dropping their pants like it's hot, dropping seeds everywhere they want, like they're fertilizing the ground, and they're not raising the children that they have.
Because you women don't need that man to take care of your child. You've got Uncle Sugar.
I don't need Uncle Sugar. I just got Uncle Sam.
That's who I'm talking about. That's Uncle
Sugar.
Well,
what's happening is people are being given access to abortion at a much younger age as well. They have a case here in Philadelphia where they have an abortion doctor that was conducting partial birth abortions, and he killed over 7 babies as they were born outside the womb. And now he is being prosecuted by the DA's office, and I think he's supposed to get the death penalty. But the whole thing is that there's a lot of OBGYNs that engage in this activity in these types of locations, because you have a lot of people who are poor, and they need access to these services. And if they're not able to monitor the time that they're going through a pregnancy, then they need access to a partial birth abortion.
But again,
and they're able to get it. And they're able to get it if they're able to get these things to happen if they make a cash payment.
But we are not holding. You see, it's the abortion. We want to go after the people who are giving abortion, who are getting abortions, and all that, instead of us actually dealing with the reason why I'm sleeping around, because I don't have a father and a mother training me any differently and not teaching me responsibility. I'll be right back.
You're listening to the Valley's News Talk, WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. This is News Talk 600.
it comes up, it goes out. Live weekdays from noon to 3. Listen to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that covers the Valley issues that matter to you, plus global topics and news of the day. Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
The sign is gone, too. There is a remnant or two of the memorial that sprouted here immediately after the shootings. President Obama will try to make us remember how we felt 4 months ago as he tries to change the direction of the debate about gun control. Strict reforms are going nowhere, but lawmakers appear willing to compromise over expanded background checks.
The president says Margaret Thatcher, who was Britain's first woman prime minister, showed our daughters that there is no glass ceiling that can't be shattered. Thatcher died today following a stroke at 87. More from ABC's Nick Schifrin in London.
The mother of two succeeded in a man's world, but she once thought the job was unobtainable.
I don't think that there will be a woman prime minister in my lifetime.
In the end, the anger she generated pushed her out of office. After she unveiled her own statue in Parliament, she would never speak in public again.
Disney is reporting that Annette Funicello is dead at 70. She was one of America's first Mouseketeers on the 1950s TV show, The Mickey Mouse Club, and starred in beach movies as an adult. She suffered from multiple sclerosis. World Health Organization talking with the Chinese government about sending international experts to China to help investigate a new bird flu strain that's killed 6 people. ABC's chief health and medical editor, Dr. Richard Besser.
The big concern is, could this become the next pandemic strain? Normally, bird strains affect birds, human strains humans, but people, they think, got this from birds.
This is ABC News.
Underwater? Upside down? Do these terms describe your current mortgage situation? Jay Farner here from Quicken Loans to tell you that it may be time to get harped. With HARP, you may be able to refinance at a lower rate even if your home has lost value. Millions of homeowners are eligible for this program right now, including hundreds of thousands who currently have a mortgage with Bank of America. That's right, hundreds of thousands of Bank of America clients are eligible for HARP and have not yet taken advantage of this opportunity. Quicken Loans may be able to help. To learn if you're eligible to get HARPed, log on to quickenloans.com and click on our easy-to-use HARP tool. But you've got to act right now. This unique program is scheduled to end at the end of the year, and I don't want you to miss out. Once again, if you owe more than your home is worth, or if your current mortgage rate is higher than 3.99%, call Quicken Loans right now at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com. We're engineered to amaze.
Important terms and conditions apply. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
A North Carolina hospital that recently changed its name has also adopted a new slogan, Cheat Death. There has been some backlash.
The Gastonia, North Carolina-based hospital is hearing from county commissioners, board members, and workers. They don't like the hospital's new marketing campaign slogan.
Cheat death means saving lives. And isn't that exactly what you want your health care system to be able to do?
David Smith is with the Chapel Hill, North Carolina-based marketing firm, Immortology.
This was a rallying cry to get people to go out and exercise more and eat better.
Gaston County ranks in the bottom 20 in North Carolina in overall health, and despite those numbers, this cry to arms has fallen flat with its critics. Patrick Johnson, ABC News, Raleigh, North Carolina.
Actress Halle Berry teaming up with fashion designer Michael Kors to make a dent in world hunger, announcing a campaign today called Watch Hunger Stop that includes raising money for meals through the sale of Kors' best-selling runway watch. Joan Bennett, ABC News.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
Why should you pay more when your furnace breaks down after 5 p.m.? Ainsley Heating and Cooling won't penalize you for broken equipment no matter when it happens, by doing what it takes to ensure your complete satisfaction. At Ainsley Heating and Cooling, we don't charge you any unnecessary fees. No overtime, no diagnostic, and no trip charges. That's right, same price, day or night. Weekends, too. Call Ainsley Heating and Cooling now at 330-637-1911 or ainsleyhtg.com.
I noticed my parents had trouble getting around the house. Independence is important to them, and I wanted to help. Early & Sons relocation made the house safe with a floor plan that allows easy access to every room, special fixtures, and hand railings. I worry less about them when they're alone. Early & Sons Relocation offers downsizing, relocation and moving services, handyman and lawn care services, and age-in-place services to remain in your home safely. Call Early & Sons Relocation for your free consultation, 330-501-7004, or earleyandsons.com.
When you drive without car insurance, one accident could cost you everything. So protect yourself from potential financial ruin. Buy affordable state minimum coverage from Safe Auto. Call 1-800-SAFE-AUTO. Drive safe. Spend less.
One of the hardest things to say is, I love you. If you find it difficult to express your feelings, spend an evening with Dr. Gary Chapman, author of The Five Love Languages, on Thursday, April 25th at Powers Auditorium. Millions of couples have learned this simple way to express their feelings and bring joy back into their marriage. Dr. Chapman has helped couples all over the world gain fresh new insights into their relationships. That's Saturday, April 25th, starting at 7:30 p.m. at Stambaugh Auditorium. Tickets are $20, $35, and $45. Order yours online at youngstownsymphony.com or call 330-744-0264. Brought to you by Achievers USA, offering exclusive leadership training and seminars in Northeast Ohio. That's Dr. Gary Chapman, Thursday, April 25th at Powers Auditorium. Call 330-744-0264 or online at youngstownsymphony.com.
Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at tracyandfriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229, and Jeff and Sticks and I are in studio. We've got South Carolina and Philadelphia on the phone, and we want to hear from you. It is open mic. And we were talking about some things, and you jumped on Margaret Thatcher, and she passed away. Mm-hmm. And who did you just tell me? Somebody else died. Who? Who was it?
Annette Funicello.
The orange lady.
Oh, Annette Funicello. No, that's Anita Bryant was the orange lady. Annette Funicello, she was a mouseketeer, and she did all those Frankie and Annette movies back in the 60s, the ones I used to show on Saturday afternoons when football season wasn't on.
Annette Funicello.
That period of time.
Bubbly girl, you know.
Are you sure she wasn't on the oranges?
No, that was Anita Bryant.
I think you guys are wrong. The number is 347-945-5229. There was something else I wanted to bring up, and I can't remember what it was. And I brought up the kids, the young girls, so they can go out and get the day after pill. And I brought up, Connecticut.
What happened?
Gun control.
The president's
about is the background check might not pass. But the other thing you had mentioned about the birth rate in the U.S. is currently at 1.93, and in order for the rate is supposed to be at like 2.0 for the country to continue to grow in population. The only thing that's causing the country to still have people is you have people who are immigrants coming into the country now, and they are the replacement population. So it's not people having children that, you know, is causing the population to increase. So that's a problem when you talk about, you know, that's a problem if you're talking about, like, different types of programs, like Medicare or like Social Security. That's a definite problem. So they don't have replacement numbers. And you're going to have more people in retirement than people who are in the workforce over time.
But we're almost already there. I mean, you got to realize the baby boomers right now, we're retiring like 40 going north. And a lot of us are retiring and have means and getting Social Security, but nobody wants to touch. Social Security reform.
Not only that, it's looking like it's going to be pretty quick if we don't do something with the retirement age. We're going to end up with people in retirement longer than they were working.
Right.
And the math on that just doesn't work.
Because they're saying the retirement age has not changed, but the difference is with the life expectancy. So you may have somebody who get able to live to 90 years old because of the medicines they have available, but they're still retiring at the age of 65.
In his sermon yesterday, my preacher said that if you're born today, you're very likely to live to be 140. And there's no way that we can fund Social Security at even 72, from 72 to 140.
Right.
The numbers just don't work.
Well, no, but even if somebody retired at 65, they would still draw on the system for a period like over 25 years. So, you know, you would have more people drawing on the system than you have people actually working in the system.
Well, yeah, when Social Security first was developed in the 30s, I think you had 12 people working for every person on Social Security. Now it's down to like 2.
But see, we have to understand what we've done. We have dumbed down our education system so much that the penal system has locked up.
Right.
And the mortuary has dug up our contributors to our future. See, it should pay for itself if the people who were incarcerated were actually producing Social Security and working and being productive.
Mm.
If you look at all the people who are on welfare, all the people who are incarcerated, and all the people who died from violent, unnecessary deaths.
Right.
And you add all those people up. All those
right.
people are supposed to be buying into Social Security right now, and right now
right.
they're either pulling from it or non-contributing.
Right. We're spending $30,000 or thereabouts on a man locked up when he ought to be making
$40,000. So, right. And not to mention, Tracy, the 8.8 million that are receiving disability and they're below the age of retirement.
And now, and let me say this about disability. This is where I have major issues with stupidity in our government system. I don't know why we have not created a disability system based upon your disability. See, I understand paying disability, but you can still be productive and still be working. So if you can no longer work in a factory, then I need to find somewhere where you can become a productive citizen doing something else. But everybody's just staying home kicking it, and nobody allowed to do anything, and we send you a check. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Well, I think there's a lot of cases of fraud in terms of the disability payments because I know of people who are blind, deaf, and these people are still able to work and hold a job. So I don't think everybody who is on disability is actually a person who is disabled.
You're right.
They found some loophole in the system, and they're able to exploit it.
Well, it's not even a loophole.
It's not a loophole.
It's not even a loophole. With, you know,
no, it's the law.
It's right. I mean, it's dumb stuff like, I had a heart attack, I can't work no more. Well, okay, you can't do that, but you can sit there and use your brain. Well, you've got something else, but you can answer a phone. You know, there are other things that you can do. You know, I look at people who are blind who go to work.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I know people who are majorly handicapped, and I've watched them do some things, and I just shake my head like, wow.
Uh-huh.
But then we have others that have a pity pat party. You know, if you're obese, then we need to find something that your obesity can make you do.
Well,
if
you're an alcoholic, you can get disability.
That's what I'm saying. Hey, Paul, your mic is on.
How y'all doing today?
Uh-oh.
Enjoying the conversation, but I got two things to tell you. You talk about incarceration. See, freedom right now to do absolutely nothing is definitely wrong. Most of the guys I know now that found Jesus, they found Jesus in prison. Most of them that can read and write, they learn how to read and write in prison. They got some of the best dental work I've ever seen in life in prison. I mean, somebody give me a break. All we have to do is just incarcerate the whole world, and we'll come out on top.
And that's where we are. We don't understand. Right now, the majority of us are working slaves.
That's life. That's when you started this American so-called government, we're all going to be a part of it because the ones on the outside of us are the ones doing all the complaining. The ones that's involved in it ain't saying a word.
Well,
again,
the whole thing with prison is they put private industries in the prisons, and they only have to pay the prisoners $1 a day. So they're able to make the prison almost a new form of slavery for people that are impoverished.
The issue is they've been doing this way before they privatized it.
They've been doing that in the Salvation Army, so that ain't nothing new. This is just a way of life. If you don't want to, somebody can make you do. Just like the school system. I don't understand how and who was responsible for allowing kids to stay home and not in school. When we came up from the South, they told us we had to go to school, and there was nobody coming to your house, putting you in prison and putting you in jail. You just had to go to school, and that was it. Period.
Oh, we had a truant officer.
And
they better not see you walking down the street during school hours.
But the truant officer got the kids that did not go to school. But let me tell you, all the rest went to school. And the parents, I don't remember no assorted effort of parents getting together, talking about we got to make these kids go to school. You just knew you had to obey the law of the land, and that was it.
It wasn't even the law of the land. I want you to look at what has happened. At one time, if you were suspended from school, you were devastated as a child because you wanted to be there where your friends were. Right now,
have a television at home and all this other stuff.
That's what I'm saying.
Well,
right now, we're making kids
that
stay home,
video
like
games
punishment
and other excursions. They don't have these kids don't have to be entertained in a school building. They can do that at home because they have access to everything in terms of technology, in terms of cable TV.
Listen to what I'm saying. Right now, instead of us changing what we do for punishment, we still want to expel kids like it's a punishment to keep make them stay home and kick it and sleep in.
Children want to do two things instinctively. They want to work and they want to learn instinctively. And right now we tell them that we send them to schools that are boring. And we tell them they can't work. They can't pick up a hammer. They can't do anything. And both things are going to destroy us.
Well,
I had a little boy. I was helping my dad the other day on one of the rental properties.
One thing they need to do is extend the school year and make the classroom study more intensive, because the school year is too short now, and that's part of the reason why they have the dropout rate in high school so high, because the kids are not able to catch up because they haven't had the work done before
in
high school.
I agree. Unless you're a rural school district where you need the kids at home, you ought to be going all year round.
But not
As bad as this thing is right now, and I hear everybody complain about how bad it is, it absolutely needs to be done away with, period.
But
needs to be. The school system, the public school system needs to be done away with.
But what's happening today is the public school system is being done away with. It's being replaced by the charter system. That's what's happening in a lot of the major cities. They're closing down the public schools.
But this is the issue, Philadelphia. Whether it be a charter school, whether it be a public school, education is the key.
Right. And, education is key,
and our
yes.
problem is we are not educating our young people for tomorrow.
Well, we're using somebody's – the education system is becoming somebody's – somebody from academia's pipe dream. Have you seen the Common Core thing, how they're trying to teach kids basic mathematics now?
No. They're trying to make
kids in the first grade learn how to add a column of numbers from left to right. Now, you want to talk about making a kid not understand math, and once they don't understand it, then they're not going to want to learn it.
Well, I have run into that where I've seen the kids counting from one direction to the other direction, and if you ask them something, they stand and give you that blank stare. So you're right
But hold on. You can't – right now, you can't find a young person who can count change back.
Yeah. I'm starting to notice that as well, but the problem is not just the school district. The parents are not engaged in the children's education. You have to have engaged parents as well.
But you got to hear what I just said.
Who are upper middle class who do much better is because they have parents that are educated, that are engaged, that go over the homework after the child is able to come from home from school.
For Philadelphia, but see, you've missed the whole movement of the conversation. Look at what they said about the children not being mine. See, you can't take my child away from me and take the authority as a parent away from me and then tell me to train the child to do anything because I no longer have authority over the child.
But
tell me, I'm not the boss. You know, right. That little kid says, you're not the boss of me.
Because you spent 10 hours a day in your public school telling my child they have rights and that they don't have to listen to their parents because they have rights.
Yeah.
You follow me?
So I've got my kids 4 hours in the evening. No, it's every kid. I've got my kid 4 hours in the evening to try to undo what you spent 10 hours all day doing.
Yeah.
And the reason why I allow my child to stay there all day long is I'm too busy out trying to make more money
right.
to buy stuff.
I can't homeschool my child. I don't have the resources or the financial backing to homeschool my child.
But right. usually what you find is usually people who are in the lower economic strata, they're the ones that are having the difficulty in terms of educating their children. It's not people who have the money to do so.
Usually those people have educations
of their own. They're able to reinforce what the children are already learning
in school. What we're trying to tell you is, you keep on throwing this inner city thing in here, and what we're trying to tell you is, yes, they have used the inner city as their pilot program, because now it has gone beyond the inner city, and it is now everywhere.
It's filtering up. It's filtering up, and pretty soon it's going to be, unless you have the means and the family backing to get your kid into Harvard or Yale.
You can't even get in there.
You're going to be one of the worker bees.
And the worker bees are not going to get paid.
That's right.
I watched Atlas Shrugged over the weekend. Atlas Shrugged 2, and I've been trying to watch it for the longest now. And I know that you got a lot of people listening are not big Ayn Rand fans. But that is a movie that you really need to go and watch because you will see today weaves all through it.
Absolutely.
And it is amazing for it to be a book of fiction for you to see your reality being played out in front of your eyes. Exaggerated a little bit, yes, but if we're not careful, we are headed somewhere that we really don't want to go.
It was written in 1957, the novel was. And you have to understand Ayn Rand's background. She immigrated here from Russia. So what she was writing about in her novels and stuff was already what she had seen in Russia. Her father was a pharmacist, and the communists came in, closed down his store, and run him out of business.
And that's where we're headed.
We're living in a society where profit is becoming a dirty word.
And profit is dry. There's nothing wrong with making a living. But is there something wrong with teaching our young people that they don't have to go and get what they're going to get and they have to go work for it? And right now we're creating a society that can't do that.
Basically, the root of it all is that the American dollar is losing its value. So
no, that's not the root.
The state has to set up
the state has to only allow the large corporations to run everything.
No.
And the small
no.
business person is not going to be able to operate
that's
in this
not,
new economy.
That's not the crux of it. The crux is not about them not being able to operate. And it's not. And see, when you keep on saying these corporations, this is strictly all about all of us. It's bigger than corporations.
Tracy.
Yes, Al.
An example of what's happening here in our country now is anybody familiar with the Japanese educational system?
No.
Well, at a certain point, once you get to a certain point, you have to take a test, okay? And you take this test to determine if you're going to be able to go to high school or you're just going to be able to go to regular school.
European
those
model.
That get
yeah.
to,
mm-hmm.
those, yeah. Those that go to high school get to go to college and are pretty much guaranteed that they're going to have a nicer job, have a nicer lifestyle. Those that don't get to go to regular school, and those are the ones that's going to be in that quote-unquote working class. And that's the ideology. And all this is at the very at its simplest point, it is entry level socialism. Go back and read what Marx says. It's the same thing. I mean, it's just entry level Marxism. It's just taking 50 years to implement. That's all.
Well, it's almost at that point now. They use standardized exams to determine if children are able to go to different grade levels, and they use the SAT as one of the most important factors when, when they have children who are applying to college.
It's way beyond that.
Because they build in an automatic worker class by socially promoting these children. They don't have the skills,
right.
So they're guaranteeing that they're going to have enough people to be the worker bees.
Listen, and let me. When I was in school, if you were an athlete, you had to carry a 2.0, if I'm not mistaken, or I will say SC average. Right now, in most of your city, in most of your schools, you can play and you can be an athlete with a 1.7 and a 1.9, which is a D.
Yeah, because they need the skills of the athlete, so therefore they lower the GPA for student athletes because they have to spend more time in practice. And,
listen to what I'm saying. I don't send my kid to school to learn how to be an athlete. I send my kid to school to learn how to become a business owner, how to become educated so that he can have a productive future. That's why I send my children to school. Because they've taken the parental power away from the parent and given it to anybody else but the parent, we are stuck in a society where now our children are being dumbed down and we don't know how to engage the system to make them learn.
But the point I was trying to make is that the dumbing down is still occurring in people who don't have the financial resources to educate their children even today.
Their children are not being dumbed down.
Yes, they are. It's
all over because you've got parents. Now you've got both parents working, so nobody's paying as much attention as they were, even in the upper middle class. And you don't know what your kid's learning unless you're super involved. And most parents today are not that super involved parent that we would like to think they are.
You know, that may be true in some families, but in terms of like some of these private school educations, you're paying upwards of like $30,000 a year for the kid to go to school, and these kids are being exposed to foreign languages in the seventh grade, where you know they have to go through different types of intensive study. And so by the time they get ready to graduate from secondary school, they're leaps ahead of their counterparts.
Honey, if you're paying $30,000 for your kid to go to school, then you're an elitist.
That's true.
So let's just understand that.
That's right.
But let's go to how America at large right now in our educational system, we are at 17 at ranking in the world. Do we understand that we used to be on top? People came here to learn.
Do you realize they used to teach calculus in the 1850s and 1860s? They taught calculus in eighth grade in this country.
We are
calculus,
and we are dumbing
down.
Well,
that's still true. in certain private academies.
I'm talking the one-room schoolhouse, Philadelphia. The one-room schoolhouse with 12 grades in it, in one room. They were teaching calculus kids in eighth grade.
I heard what you said. The point I'm trying to make to you is I know people who have sent their children to these private academies in the D.C. area and so forth, and they are exposed to a lot more at an earlier age than their counterparts in public schools. That's what I'm trying to make to you.
And what we're trying to tell you, I don't care about the kids that go to Dalton because they got theirs. I'm not – majority of the students across that we're talking to right now, their children are not going to Dalton. Dalton is one of the primary and premier elementary schools in the world, and it's in New York City. I'm not concerned about those children right there. My concern is the everyday child trying to get an education so that they can be a productive citizen. And that's who
this changes in educational policy. That's the population that this is affecting. It's not affecting the people who can afford to pay.
But who cares? I'm not worried about those who can get theirs. My question is, what are we going to do about the ones that can't get it?
But the thing is, once again, you make a huge mistake thinking that somebody wants those kids to get it other than some of the concerned parents that are left. And you're mistaken. They don't want them to. That's why they continually dumb down the curriculums and make them harder and harder to navigate. Now, the one thing that is out there is we have so much knowledge these days. What do you generalize to do? And what they have done is they created everybody to more or less work for somebody, have the mindset of, you know, you'll be all right, go to work for this person, go to work for that person. They're creating a lot of labor force. They're not creating people that are thinking young adults.
Jeff, they're not even creating labor force.
They're creating labor force now because your suburban schools are doing quite well.
They're trying to create government workers
Exactly.
Because, you know, they're proposing more and more and more. If you go and take on student loans, if you go to work in the private sector, you get what you pay and you pay them back. If you go to work for the government, they forgive them.
Exactly.
That's insane.
But let me say it this way, we talked about General Electric here, and they had to ratify a contract. So I want you to understand how they don't let people think. They told you that we're going to shut you down because of whatever. We don't use this light bulb anymore, and we're planning on shutting this plant down next year. They say, please don't shut us down. We want to work, and we'll take concessions. So they have a contract coming up. They go and vote on a contract to ratify it. It has some minor cuts in it. They decide we're not going to ratify the contract. We're going to play a game of chicken. Now GE has come back and said, well, thank you very much, but we're going to close it down as scheduled.
Well, you saw why. Now, that didn't have to do with anything, but the older people were much.
They're getting a buyout.
Yeah, they're getting a buyout, and the younger people are screwed. But the older people, there's more of them, and they voted for their own pocketbooks.
But, you know, so. I worked in several steel mills in this area for about 20 years, and it would have been nice for those places to be there for my kids and grandkids to work. I mean, isn't anybody thinking about that?
If I'm
getting close to retirement, I got a grandson getting ready to graduate high school, it'd be awful nice to think maybe he could walk in and take my place.
No, we don't think about the future. That's where
they go towards automation when it comes to any type of job that's labor intensive.
You still got to have somebody to run the machine. You still got to have somebody to fix the machine.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, they may not need. Yeah, they don't need near as many people to build a new car as they did a Model T, but you still need some.
Yeah, right.
Saying we're going to work a deal with you to keep the plant open,
yeah,
you're still going to have some people there.
Yeah, you still have to have some. But in the past, where you needed 1,000 people to run a factory maybe now the number is probably like 100 people
running
the same factory.
You don't need sledgehammer swingers anymore.
But again, I mean, General, we're seeing that everywhere, but that doesn't mean you got to throw out the baby with the bathwater. Are you following me?
I think it's a better thing that we don't need sledgehammer swingers anymore.
And we're throwing the baby out with the bathwater.
Because look how much better the standard of living is now than it was when people were making 10 cents an hour swinging sledgehammers.
Alex, your mic is on.
Hey,
I mean,
good afternoon.
How you doing?
great. You know, I think that what you guys are talking about is it's important. It's an important conversation to have. But we have to realize that, you know, when it comes to the economy, it's just our economy is shrinking. You know, we have fewer and fewer jobs every passing president. And people say, and they just keep changing the way that they calculate unemployment. But if you look at the percentage of actual jobs compared to the population, it just continues to shrink each passing president. So, you know, and so we have people fighting more and more over the same jobs. I don't know if you guys saw in the news, but like up in Massachusetts, it was a McDonald's that posted a cashier position. You have to have a bachelor's degree.
I saw that.
Companies do that just so they don't have to deal with the applications, you know.
Right.
Because what people don't realize is that only 25% of the population has a bachelor's degree, and that includes everyone, young people, old people, retired, you know, whatever. Only 25% of the population has a bachelor's degree or higher. So, you know, that's just what they do, you know. If the economy is good, you know, like it was, like, the, you know, generations ago, nobody's worrying about that. I mean, you barely even needed a high school diploma, because if the work needed to be done, they would train you, do whatever needed to be done to make that money. But it's really not about that, because we don't have a real economy anymore.
Well,
it's
Alex,
really,
Alex, do you think that the reason there aren't the jobs that there used to be is because we're putting so many roadblocks to people who want to start businesses and those types of things?
It's partially that, but we've also destroyed our monetary system now. See, money used to have intrinsic value, and the money used to come intrinsically from the people, because it was backed by gold or silver, so whoever had it could start to finance whatever, you know, whatever they wanted. But now that we've destroyed our monetary system, everybody is looking up. And you look at every industry, and everybody's waiting on a government contract, and then that government to a big corporation, and then a big corporation gives money out to subcontractors, and then we call that economic growth. But it really is.
Right.
It's just we live in a pseudo we're just a couple steps away from a fascist state.
Well,
the primary reason is that we've destroyed our monetary system, where the people cannot generate the economic activity the way they used to be able to, just say 70 years ago.
Let me ask you this, and I'm not gonna take my last break. I'm gonna just roll through it until the end of the show, and I want to thank everybody for who called in and listening in. But I heard somebody say something this morning, and I didn't catch the whole thing, about Margaret Thatcher and what was going on in Europe, and it was almost a fascist country.
Yes.
Before she came in.
Yeah.
Am
I correct about that?
Yeah, because they even nationalized their auto industry.
Yep.
She came in and actually, you know, privatized it, and that's the reason why the UK is actually making good automobiles now, because of Thatcher. You know, stop this nonsense. You know, and now they compete in the world now with things, because she privatized a lot of industry.
Yeah, so, I was over there when she did that, when she turned Leyland. I think she sold Leyland to Volkswagen.
So let me ask this. Is America going towards fascism or socialism? Because Are we going to be a hybrid of both?
It's going to be a hybrid of both. When you say fascism, you mean fascism is in government and big business are running the whole show.
Pretty much.
I mean, socialism is when governments.
And are we, right. And
That's the exact same thing I had said to you on the show, but you said I was wrong. That's what I said to you.
When?
I said to you it's because the dollar is losing its value, and that's going to cause the corporations to be the ones to run the business in the country. And it's going to be very difficult for a small business person to operate in America in the future. That's what I said.
But what I'm saying is right now, it is hard for small business to operate, but it's not impossible. But we have
I'm not saying it's impossible, but it's going to be the corporations are going to be the ones to operate the commerce.
I don't like you using corporations because I am a corporation. And that is
a bad word. When I say corporations, I'm saying very large corporations.
But you need to say that.
Multinationals.
Then multinational
corporations.
You need to say that because corporations is a bad term to identify.
Well, I'm talking about multinational corporations.
He's talking about the General Electrics and the General Motors of the world.
That's what I'm talking about, Ms.
When you look at Walmart, Walmart already controls everything.
Yeah.
Walmart is into everything, and they're controlling everybody, whether you like it or not. We keep on shopping there.
Until Dollar General gets a bigger market.
And so it's going to be a situation where you're going to have to deal with... You have to deal with something that's in the form of a monopoly. It's going to be a monopoly certain businesses are going to have over certain industries. It's going to be very difficult for a small person to get into it.
It's the same cycle every time. You take somebody, and when they get started in their business, they don't want the government in their business. But when they get to be the top of their business, then they want to pay off the government so the government can stop anybody from competing with them. They ran Tucker clear out of business. They litigated him to death.
Yeah, that's
General
what, that's
Motors,
what
Ford, and Chrysler litigated that man to death.
Yeah, big businesses love regulations.
Yes.
Yeah, big businesses love regulations because for that reason, and but you know, Democrats though they seem not to understand that. But
they fully understand it. And big government loves big business, and big business loves big government. And I'll tell you why big government loves big business. Because you can move a cart with one ox or 1,000 cats, it's a whole lot easier to control one ox.
The problem is the people are supposed to be running the government, and we have given up our ability to do so. You know, I talked to a young lady over the weekend, and she was saying that, you know, she was a part of a union, and I was telling her, you buy into something that you have no power and no control over. Yet we follow the union to the death. I don't think we understand that.
The purpose of the union was to, you know, be involved in organized crime in the Northeast and in the Midwest. And the organized crime figures used the dues they took out of each paycheck to fund their activity. Now,
look at what's going on right now. It may have been started to do this, but right now they're talking about the representative people who pay into it. They actually follow these people around without question, and all they do is sell them out every time they go to ratify a contract.
A very wise old man, he was my first local president, his name was Keller Hearn, he's passed away now, told me as soon as a labor union gets in bed with a political party, the interests of the people, the members of the union is gone. Because now all they're after is political power.
And right now, we follow the unions to their death. They put people in office and they take people out of office. They do not look at they're not objective in who's up there as long as their agenda gets pulled through. And they screw the American people who are a part of it. And I don't think we understand that.
They talk about unions, but the figure is something like 12%. Of the labor force is actually in a union. It's a very small percentage.
It doesn't matter. It still shapes policy.
They've got enough money that they influence legislators, which
which makes it for everybody.
And so we talk about lobbying groups, and we talk about we don't want this and we don't want that, but we don't realize that you're a part of a lobbying group called a union, and they're not always working in the best interest of the American electorate, yet they're using your money and your dollars to do so.
For example, I'm willing to bet money that the United Auto Workers or the United Steelworkers both have enough money in their treasuries, if they would quit messing with politics, they could fund a health care plan and a pension plan for every dues-paying member. But they won't do that. They'll spend their dues money and they'll spend their treasury money on getting politicians to get elected and force somebody else to do their dirty work. And then when the company goes bankrupt, instead of the union that a man worked for 40 years holding his money for him, the company goes bankrupt, his pension goes to the PBGC, and he gets 10 cents on a dollar. Now, what good did that union do for a man for those 42 years he worked?
Well, the good that the union did is the people that were in the leadership of the union, they got like some type of finances from what the politician did. He probably was able to give them money over an extended period of time.
It doesn't matter. You got my money. See, this is what the education that we need to get here. It's my money. You're
right,
using
your
money. Hold on. You're using my money to fight against me instead of fighting for me, and I still follow you like you're going to fight for me, but in actuality, I'm beating up my own self. So it's like going into a battered wife syndrome and me beating my own self up. That's what's going on. And this is in business. This is in education. This is in union. This is in working. Everything that is supposed, government is supposed to be working for me, not against me. And right now, all of the legislation that's going out is actually coming back to hurt me, like health care reform.
Oh, you ain't started to pay yet.
We don't understand. Other people are making money on my vote.
$4,000 a year if you're over 22% body fat.
On my vote. I'm killing myself. It's like taking a knife and putting it to my throat and cutting it. And then slowly bleeding.
$6,000 a year surcharge for smoking cigarettes.
We are not paying attention to what we're doing. When you're supposed to be in control of something, you ought to be in control. Right now, we're abdicating our control, giving it over to somebody, and then putting bullets and guns and shooting back at me.
Well, the only way you can seize control at this point, you have to change the entire system. You have to become an activist and tear the whole system down and start
again,
all over again.
You can't listen to what I'm saying. You can't tear it down because the system is controlled now. The media is controlled now by big business. And we have allowed our Federal Communications Council, the FCC, to be sold out to the highest bidder.
Hey, Trish.
Are we not? Yeah, Alex.
What you're saying is like it's a pandemic problem, and it reminds me of a conversation I was having with a Democrat, and he was saying, well, if we're not in recovery, the country isn't doing well, then how come the stock market's doing so good? You know,
because
it people don't understand this with the repeal of Glass-Steagall, you know, we're in 1999, when now investment bankers now have access to your money that you deposit in the bank account. Well, think about it. When the economy is doing bad, when there's uncertain times, what do people do with their money? They don't spend it. They save it.
Right.
So if they save it in a bank account.
When they save
now,
it.
Now these investment bankers still have access to that money to go and play with it on the stock market. So regardless of how the economy is doing, they can do whatever they want to do. They take our money, and they make more money with it. Even when we don't want them to, we say, you know what, we're not going to risk. I'm not going to risk my money. I'm going to put it in this bank account, and they just say, well, okay, well I will then. So,
well, and not only that, you got the Federal Reserve printing $80 billion a month.
Right.
And that money's going straight in the stock market because it's not coming out here. It's going straight to the stock market. And it's a bubble that's going to collapse.
But hold on, guys. Now, you got to understand. Wait a minute. You got to understand what Alex said. And you got to just stop and think about, because if you went too fast, you got to think about what he's actually said.
I know what he said.
But everybody else may not know. You know, you have to understand, we say some things on here that really make people think. You really got to think
about
how I am
saving my money in my bank, and my bank is now taking my money and spending my money on the place where I should be spending my money and making money on it. So somebody's making money on my money, yet I think I'm saving it.
Well, why is it that you take your $100 down to your bank and you open a savings account at 1% interest? They send you a credit card in the mail that's 21% interest.
That's what I'm saying. You have to understand what's going on here. And I don't think we're paying attention to how we're getting bamboozled in the whole system. Chicago, is that you?
Yeah, but that's part of the political game that you always talk about, playing in the game and all that stuff. When you play in the game, only a few people are going to win, and the rest of the American people are going to lose. So just like Philadelphia said, you have to basically start all over, because if you're playing a game and the owners of the game is going to do what they want to do anyway, you're still going to lose.
But that's just it. You don't have, listen. It's one thing.
They don't care because they're getting a big paycheck, free health care for themselves and their families, and they get a pension, so they don't care.
See, this is where I differ. I know that you're playing with me, and it's one thing for me to know that you're playing, and it's another thing for me not to know. See, if I know that you're playing with me, then I can actually navigate where you go and what you do with what I have. It's another thing for me to be ignorant that I'm playing a game. See, there's nothing like a little kid playing monkey in the middle, and you find out that you're the monkey. When you get a little bit older, they quit throwing the ball over your head because you jump up and catch it. And the question is, when will the American people start jumping up and catching the ball?
So that means individuals are controlling this economy through the money that they print. So you're working on a fiat currency. So that means that they can change the rules of the game any way they want to, because they're controlling the game. They own the game. They own America.
They own America, but they don't own all of America. But they want you to think that you have no power. Where the American people fail is the American people have the power to do what's necessary to get things done. They don't understand. They want you to feel as though you're powerless. So if I'm in an abusive relationship, the question is, I can walk out the door anytime I want to, but I don't know I have the power to do so. See, I can change it anytime that I want to. I can change what's going on if I don't like it. The question is, do I know that I have the power to change it?
Well, I guess back to your moderate wife, they have to change the system because they're the majority here in America. If they're not liking what's going on with the system that their forefathers created, they have to change it.
But this is bigger than white now. Because remember, white people are a part of this hamster wheel now. The problem is they didn't realize that they were on it. They thought only people of color were on it. But now they just woke up and recently and found out they're on the same wheel as everybody else.
And you got to remember, too, around 1900, they changed the system on us. That's the system we're operating under is not what the economic system is not what the founders had envisioned. The United States of America never had a central bank. Well, we had, for a couple of short years, they had one, and it was always repealed.
But you understand,
and we never had a central bank until we did the Federal Reserve Act.
But you have to understand what he said. You have to understand what he said, and when we'll do this again on Friday, or following Monday, because you have to understand what he said. The system that we're operating in was not supposed to be a system that African Americans played in. That's why you hear people talk about white privilege.
Well, Tracy, you know, I think what needs to happen is we need to do some fundamental things that basically mean that we're all in it together. And to do that, I think one of the first things is repeal the 16th Amendment. What that did is allow government to tax the public unapportioned. Because it used to be that people were talking about flat tax. We need a flat tax. Well, that used to be how it was. Like taxes had to be apportioned, where it didn't matter if you were the poorest or the richest. If the tax was say 5%, everybody paid it, and you couldn't just selectively target groups. Oh, you're going to pay more. Now you're going to pay more. You know, oh, I can get some more money over here. See, and when we do that, now we start to separate ourselves and say, you know, and start to take advantage of each other. We start to vote for the other person's wallet, you see, which is what Obama has done very pretty well, you know, the last election cycle. And I think that's the first thing that we can do to show that that would start to change the moral, the character of America if we repeal the 16th Amendment and say we're all in this together. Whatever you pay, I pay.
Right.
And I guarantee things will start to turn around from there because
we need,
it just go ahead.
Yeah, we need to do that, and we need to peg the dollar to gold again. And we need to stop printing money. We need to go back to the pre-Nixon system, at least. I mean, I would like to see it goes to pure gold and do away with the Federal Reserve, but you're not going to get there.
But you got to give people education on finances and the economy. If we don't begin to educate people, then we will talk over their head, and if we don't know, teach them how to engage in the process, they will always be manipulated by the people who know the process.
But another thing is, when you're operating on a precious metal standard, there is almost zero inflation. In fact, in a lot of cases, there's deflation. So how hard is it to save for your retirement if you put a dollar under the mattress?
What? Listen to what I'm saying. You understand it. That's why you are where you are. Right now, we have a population to wake up, to get them to understand it. It may be simple to people. But it's not simple walking away from my husband who's been beating me every day for the last 20 years either. We need to wake people up. And every time there is an awakening in America, somebody comes along with some sandpaper or the sandman and puts everybody back to sleep again.
Right.
And we're going to have to wake people up so that they can engage in the process. Because right now we are being duped.
Right.
And what you're talking about pre-Nixon, people don't even realize that they can go back and repeal what happened last week,
right?
Let alone what happened in 1970. You understand that?
Right, I understand that. But the beauty of this is you can make a child understand this.
No,
that's
you can't.
Yes, you can.
Not if the child is asleep. When you lay in a bed very, very long, you have to go to rehab to learn how to walk again.
Right.
So you'll be 50 years old. Back learning how to do something that you've done 50 years. In America, what they've done is they've put us inside of a respirator to where we really don't know that we can stand up and walk. And when we go to stand up, instead of us having somebody to hold on to walk us across, somebody comes and kicks us. We don't have walkers. We need to understand it might be as simple as walking. But you have to understand what they've done to the psyche of the American electorate. No one knows how to grease the wheels to make the wheels turn.
Right. You've got an awful lot of people that think without Social Security,
it ain't even about
it would collapse.
But see, you're missing. It's not about Social Security.
It's about the whole thing. It's the whole thing
put
together.
And so when you come in and say that you're going to change things back to the gold standard, then they come out and say, you're going to take this away from me. You understand? You know, when Mitt Romney, I'll use him as an example, he came out and said one comment, and next thing we knew, he was taking Social Security away from all of the seniors on Social Security. You got to understand, if you're going to talk about this, you got to talk about it in a way that people can actually comprehend it and they can't twist it.
Well, the problem is these topics are so weighty, you can't do them in 30-second sound bites.
But you have to. Because you got to wake me up slowly. I'm done with my day. I'll see you guys on tomorrow. God bless you. Jeff will be here tomorrow. Come keep him company because I've got to go and see a man about a dog. God bless you guys. Have a good day, and we'll see you then.
Fit Family. Unique. Individualized. And promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austintown receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor, Dr. Hill.
Related.